Blog Talk Radio.
Coming up is Ron Cole. He's a famous astrologist. He's world renowned. He's been on radio. He's been on TV. He's done everything you could think of. And we are so happy to have him here every Wednesday to talk astrology. And we have a great show for you. But let me first give you a little bit about myself and him. Second part of the day today, we have the other famous, my girl, Kelly Coulter. She reads Atlantean life cards. It's a very rare talent. She's fabulous. We get calls for her all the time. Hi, Kelly. I know you're listening because I have Ron with me right now. But Kelly will be on in the second half. She'll be here about 1:45. But let me tell you how to reach me and what I do. My name is Bonnie Albers. I run the show Bonnie Albers on Air, and I have a lot of co-hosts and guests, and I love featuring anything metaphysical, spirit, any type of metaphysics in the world, the universe, because I believe knowledge lets us all free. So you can get a hold of me at BonnieAlbers.com. It's my older site. I am having a new website made, Diana, called BonnieAlbers-on-air, and it's a really adorable, cute, and sparkly website. It's under construction, but you can still contact me there. Also, you can contact me at my email, balbers, A-L-B-E-R-S, 714@AOL.com. Please drop me a note. Let me know, you know, what you'd like to talk about or what you'd like to see on the show, or even if you have questions or you would like to just leave us a nice letter of how you've enjoyed the show. And I've gotten a lot of those, and I want to thank everybody out there. I want to thank you in chat. Thanks to our listeners and our callers. We wouldn't be here without you. And we love you. We send you love and light always. And if we can help you in any way, just let us know. We would also like you to go to Blog Talk and like us, because then you will get updates on all of our shows and who guests we are featuring that week, and our wonderful co-hosts. I'm going to tell you about our fabulous astrological co-host, Ron Cole. And you know that's why we play for both Kelly and Kim, Aquarius. They picked that song because it is just so appropriate for astrology. It gives me tingles every time I hear it. Ron is going to speak with you in a minute, but you can reach Ron. He does readings. He does phone readings. He does email, and he will tell you what he does. But you can reach him at livingastro.com. When you do get a hold of Ron Cole, he'll let you know how he does his reading. But, oh, my goodness, Ron's been doing my readings forever, and I just had an update. My daughter just had an update. He is so fabulous. He's so astrologically on point that I just can't tell you enough about him. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Bonnie. Happy Wednesday to you.
Oh, thank you. Happy Wednesday to you. And we spent New Year's Day together, and this is the next Wednesday. So we are really rocking this season in now, aren't we?
Yes, we are. There still is a large number of planets in Capricorn. Last week, New Year's Day, there were 5 planets. Now there's 4, but that's still a pretty heavy emphasis.
I know. Do you think we're ever going to get rid of that weighty Capricorn? Although it's not as weighty as Saturn. Man, Capricorn always reminds me of you got your feet one in front of the other, one in front of the other, just walking and struggling to walk. I might be wrong, but that's what Capricorn, just plodding away. They're very hard workers. But I'll tell you, when I see that Capricorn, and maybe it's because my husband has a Capricorn moon, I see that work ethic, that really heavy work, you know, trying to get ahead type energy. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's right on, spot on. They are very dynamic workers. They don't give up. Their symbol is a mountain goat, although some say as a chimera, half goat, half fish. But I like the mountain goat image because it represents a creature that walks and jumps from peak to reach the highest peak in the mountain chain. And that shows Capricorn has an upward mobility inbred in them, that they rise higher and higher up in responsibilities and empowerment through time and through effort, but they're not afraid of work. That's in their blood.
Well, you know what's so funny, Ron? I guess that's why when I see Capricorn, I just want to, like, shut my eyes and I just want to put a scarf over my head, because I am such a water sign, really. I don't want my feet on the ground. I just want to completely fly to spirit, see that walking up that mountain. I'm thinking, much too hard for me. I just want to fly there. That's what it always reminds me of. But we have so much to discuss today, Ron. I don't even know where to start, because I'm such a novice. I love astrology so much. I always want to start from the beginning, but I don't even understand the beginning, even though I love it. So I always like to let our listeners and our callers, which are much more, you know, we have people who are astrologists that listen to the show and who have written me. So I do like starting from the beginning. Can you, I mean, there's so many things I want to talk about, but maybe we should start with houses, like if you could explain everybody what a house and a planet is, and then, you know, we can move from there because we've got a lot to talk about.
Well, when an individual gets an astrology chart done, they'll get a circular wheel in which 12 divisionary sections are made in that wheel. Think of a pie divided into 12 equal cuts, and then you can get the image of what this looks like. Now, a house is an area of the sky in which certain indigenous representative energies permanently exist. And planets, as they move through these various houses, will have different expressions or energies depending on what house they're in at that personal time. That's why time is the big factor in having an astrology chart set up. When you ask a person to provide you with data for a chart reading, they have to give you their city of birth or location, their month, day, and year of birth, and very importantly, their exact time of birth, because you are freezing a moment of time when they took their first breath and became alive in this lifetime as to where all of the planets are and what areas of the sky they are in and the various houses. And that moment of time becomes their whole energy system, grid system, or pattern for this incarnation or lifetime. And each house maintains a fixed meaning no matter what planets are in them. So if you could only imagine taking the sky and dividing it into 12 sectional parts, that's how the house system works. We don't actually see big black lines extending out from Earth into infinity, dividing the sky into these segmented areas. But nevertheless, different energies and patterns of vibration exist in these different parts of the sky. And when a planet is in one of those versus another, it will have a different expression in the chart. Now, I hope that didn't sound too complex.
No, well, you know, Ron, everything sounds complex to me, but I can follow it because you're really, really good at explaining. So if you have houses, then in those houses, every house has a different meaning. And I think we went over, don't we have the number one house? And that's what I kind of wanted to go over real quick again, because I think we did that last week. And then I wanted to go to planets and how they affect those houses and why they fit in them.
Okay, we could go around all 12 of them and give a very quick thumbnail description. House 1 is where the ascendant or rising sign sits. This is the house that is representative of you, what you look like, how you come across to others, how others perceive and see you. House 2 is the house of matter or mattering. Mattering is just a word I made up. It means our salaries, our income, our possessions, our investments. It's the house of material directives in life. House 3 is the house of communication. It's particularly connected with the mind, the brain, the IQ. It's connected with the intelligence level of the human being, connected with any talent in communication, writing, speaking, lecturing, or any of the others. House 4 represents the childhood home and the childhood home conditions, but once a person lives through that, it represents places they will live in their life. So it's literally the house of the home, and it represents moving or changing residences or just the home itself. House
hey,
five,
Ron,
next
I,
door. Yes?
Hey, Ron, I'm stopping you between some of the houses because I do want the listeners to know. Okay, well, I didn't stop you with the communication house because my first question was going to be, do you see me in the third house? But I'm not going to ask you that right now because I know you know my chart. But on four, the home, would you be able to tell, like, another thing even with house three, if somebody was on television like I want to be, could you see that in the third house, that they'll have something in that third house, or if they were going to live in house four, which you're at right now, if they were going to live abroad or they were going to be a very big traveler, would that be something in their house that you would see?
Absolutely. House three would give priority talents in communication, and it could be written, it can be audio, and it is prominent in people who do have communicationary work on radio and television. And there is another house that also can interact with that, but house three particularly is how the mind works and what ideas they reflect from word to word in their way of communicating. So that's very important for radio and television. Next door, you're right, house four, if a person moves to a foreign country or another area of the world, that will be definitely shown in the birth chart because that's the house of residencies throughout their life. And next door is house five, and that's children. And that represents offspring, personality traits of them, and also, strangely enough, pets that we have. House six is connected to health. Health that of the human body, health conditions of the body, basically an overall description of health. House seven now sits opposite house one. This is the area of relationships and marriage. This is the house of what you attract to you in life in the form of someone you date, fall in love with, go steady with, and or marry. Next door,
well, you know,
house
that's
eight,
my favorite house.
Of relationships, yes. That's one of the big areas that people come in for astrology readings. They want to know about relationships, so that house becomes prime importance. Now, next door in house eight, this one's kind of misunderstood. I see this house as psychic ability and intuitive talent, among other things. House nine deals with traveling, long-distance traveling, education, especially upper-level education, university and colleges. And this house also, Bonnie, could play an important role in radio and TV work because it's particularly interesting that this house is the use of the higher mind, the philosophical mind, and the deeper subjects of contemplation and usage. And next door is another big one, house 10, the career. That's where a lot of people come in asking questions about. House 11 deals with our interaction and interconnection with our fellow human beings anywhere in the world. So it's the house of relationships with humanity as well as our personal friends and personal friends connections. Now, 12, the last house, Bonnie, is very misunderstood. In old books in astrology, they had a lot of negative interpretations of this house, and we've thrown them all out pretty much today. This is the house of the subconscious. This is the area that Jung or Freud would be very interested in looking at about the person. But even more fascinating, this is the house that is the key to past lives. This is the house that shows past life interactions before this incarnation. And there are more meanings to these houses, but I just went through them. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Well, no, because you know me, I interrupt because I get so excited. But, you know, and I love that 12th house. It used to be of death. I think that's why you were saying it. It was misunderstood. I'm not sure, but I think wasn't it of death or you know, subconscious?
Well, it was the house of institutions, prisons, asylums, insane asylums. It was given such heavy negative energy that it was kind of a house of fear in many centuries ago.
Well, you know, am I wrong, but I want you to, you know, I think what's really interesting, and there's only two of them, so maybe that would be interesting to talk about before we go into planets, but isn't the North Node, is every North Node in the 12th house, or it's only in mine? I'm not sure.
No, they're in any possible houses. Right now, I believe the North Node's in Scorpio, and the South Node's in Taurus, and wherever the nodes are, that's where we tend to have eclipses occurring. And so we have the nodes in Taurus, Scorpio, the north node being probably the more empowered one in Scorpio. And our eclipses are occurring last year and this year predominantly in Scorpio and Taurus. There's a very interesting karmic thing with the nodes too, Bonnie. Have you ever heard about that?
No. Well, I did because I think the north node – they're both opposite each other. One, and you can explain this, and it's interesting because we're going to go. I'd like to go in sequence. So we're doing the houses, and now we'll do the north and south nodes. One is about, isn't it, where you are, what you want to achieve, and the other one is what you did achieve or what you're supposed to achieve. Because you know, I love that north and south node, and I know you explained it to me. But can you tell the difference between the north and south node? And maybe that's what you're asking.
You pretty much hit it right on. The North Node is destiny that you are to acquire, achieve, work on in this life, like Dharma, the message and direction you're supposed to be working with. And the South Node represents something you've already become creature comfortable with. You've already achieved it. It's become and been a present and existing thing in incarnating lives. And you're really supposed to move away from that because it's not supposed to be the direction in this life. The North Node is supposed to be the direction we're aspiring to.
And so can you, it's just to give people examples, if my North Node is in the 12th house, then my South Node has to be directly parallel to it, right? And can you tell what
the sixth house.
Can you tell us if you had a North Node in the 12th house and a South Node in the 6th house, what would that mean so that you could give an example?
Well, without even connecting with signs, just the houses would be interesting. The North Node in the 12th house would mean the person has a very strong, driven desire to understand the psyche and interconnecting energy within human beings. And even their hidden talents, such as the intuitive, the mystical, and the spiritual. And the South Node means that the person would be coming from an energy expression in past lives of working with health, health care, medicine, treatment of health, or some kind of interaction with the field of health.
Wow. So the South Node, like my South Node, and I hate to always bring me up, but I'm just using it as an example. My South Node is in that health house, and my North Node is in that house of mystery. That would mean that I've already, you know, because I am a nurse and I am a counselor and I am a psychic medium, that would mean that I'm working on my psychic abilities this year, this lifetime. I'm going to bring them out. Is that what it means, or am I getting them backwards?
No, you got it right. The reason why you became a nurse is probably because of falling into the groove of the creature comfort repeat pattern of having the South Node, which represents the past and the past life before you came in as Bonnie, in the house of health. And that was something that you did and have done recently and have achieved. And it's easy for any of us to fall right back into the pattern of the South Node because we've already done that. The point is, we are supposed to go the opposite direction and go in the way that the North Node, or sometimes called the Ascending Node, is pointing to in our chart. And that's hard because we haven't necessarily done that yet or necessarily pioneered that new territory, but we're supposed to do that in this life.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so now that I just interjected all this about myself, we can go back to the planets. So we went through the houses, and I think you really did a great job giving everybody, you know, just an overview of what each house is. And now they have the North Node and the South Node to think about. So how do planets, how do planets interact with these, and what do they mean?
Well, each planet has a specific set of vibrationary energies, and I'm using the word vibration kind of symbolically here because that's one of the ways to kind of think about it. A planet has a different way of being than other planets. Each one is unique unto itself. And for convenience, we can call sun and moon planets, even though they're not. If you look at sun, moon, and Mercury through Pluto, you're dealing with 10 different energies, 8 planetary bodies, our own moon, and then the sun. And they all are very important in the astrology wheel. And do you want me to run very quickly through in a word or two what each planet means? Is that what you want
Absolutely.
Me to do, Bonnie? I could do that.
The sun
represents power, the ability to handle power and the ability for administrating power. The moon represents emotions, our home, our past, our memories. Mercury represents, like the third house, our intelligence, our IQ, and our communicationary prowess. Venus represents, like the seventh house, relationships, love, attractions, what gives us pleasure. Mars represents energy, or what gives us drive, or what gives us the locomotiveness in life for forging onward. Jupiter represents many things. This is the largest planet, and it represents the concept of expansion, abundance, growth, unlimited abundance. Saturn is kind of like the 10th house. It represents work, duty boundness, and obligations, and this one's the Lord of Karma. Saturn's nature is to be sure that we work off and balance off and pay off all karma that our soul is carrying into and creating in this life. And now the outer three, the big three, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. Uranus is the ruler of the new age because it's the ruler of Aquarius, and it's the planet where you break from tradition, have sudden and quick, even erratic events that happen. Neptune is arguably the most psychic planet of all because it's the planet that makes us sensitive to energies, highly intuitive, mystical, and being able to get feelings from vibrationary things, from objects and from people and places we go to. And Pluto, that one is interesting. That planet was attempted to be thrown out of the solar system by scientists, but it's still a planet, and it at this point has three known moons, and we'll probably discover more this year. Pluto is very interesting. It's where we have the power to go within and to take something from its inner core and transform it into something else, like the caterpillar going into the cocoon and coming out the butterfly. So it represents transformation.
Wow. Those two planets, I always, when I hear them, they make me tingle because, of course, Neptune I love. That's the planet of being psychic, or not that it being psychic, but of psychic ability, and you know how much I love that. And Pluto, well, I just love that because it's a Disney character. So I just really like the planets, and I know you love Disney, so I had to bring that up.
Well,
and
you know, you hit the nail on the head, Bonnie. Walt Disney named that dog Pluto because he was created at the time Pluto was discovered, and the world was going Pluto crazy. They were so excited about this new planet, and Walt Disney named that dog Pluto after the discovery of the planet.
And they're trying to take that planet away, and I just don't like that. Do you?
Not at all, because it exists, and the reason why they try to do it is they say it's too small, and it's way out there near the Oort cloud, where all these debris of comets and things are, and that it should not be a part of our planetary system. Well, that's crazy, because this year we're going to see some changes. On July 14th, 2014, a probe that was launched from the Cape Canaveral, is going to actually arrive at Pluto, and we're going to see close-up photographs, and we're going to see things about the planet we cannot pick up through telescopes, and we're going to probably reconsider quite strongly, scientifically, why this planet was thrown out, and hopefully, cross our fingers, it'll be reconsidered as part of our planetary system. But even if it isn't, it still is a planet. And even if they say it is not, it's just human beings making that comment. It doesn't stop the planet from being there.
Well, and I love it because now you take the houses and the planets and you mix them all up, and that's really what tells you all about the life of a person. And then you've got aspects and angles and squares, which we're going to talk about, but we don't have time today. But real quick, before I bring one of the callers in that you are going to do their chart for, two things I really wanted to hit, and maybe we can do that next week, is the ages, like why we go through ages. Like this is the age of Aquarius. And
yes.
Also I want to hit weather and planets. So is there any, like, are those two subjects something we need to, you know, save for next week, or can you go really quickly?
Oh, I
or
can
not
do
really
it there
quickly,
fairly quickly, Bonnie.
Okay, perfect.
Like the ages. For example,
yeah.
We are now in the beginning or early stages of the age of Aquarius, and each age lasts 2,160 years. And what happens is the sun and all of us, the planets with the sun system, moves also in a big circle. Not just us moving around the sun, but the sun also moves. And as it does, it moves through the 12 signs of the zodiac. And each time it's in one of those signs, it's in that age. So it's in the early years of being in Aquarius, it'll probably be in that age for another 2,100 years. And that's why we've had all these sudden, rapid-fire breakthrough changes in communications and inventions, computers. That's ruled by Aquarius. The Internet, Aquarius. Automobiles, Aquarius. Electronic appliances, Aquarius. Televisions, Aquarius. Radios, telephones. All of these things that have come into the human being's life and into the mass consciousness of the world, in the last 100 years plus are all because of the energy of the whole solar system moving into Aquarius. And this speeds up interconnection and intercommunication, where the previous age was Pisces, and that was a very different age, Bonnie. That was an age associated with belief system, and that's why it was such a strong age of religion, not just Christianity, but Islam and world religions in general. It was very much connected with the power of belief. And we have key phrases for signs. Pisces key phrase is I believe, and Aquarius key phrase is I know. So we're moving from an age of believing to an age of knowing.
Well, do you know what, Ron? I love that, and I want to go through all the different ones because I really, really enjoy that. But I have to tell you, I know that Aquarius has to have the I know. First of all, it's my moon, and I always say I know. And second of all, it's my husband, and he always says he knows. So see, I mean, both of us are so, I'm the moon, he's the sun. We both know, so you can only tell what our arguments are about, which aren't much, but we do. So think about that one, everyone. I have a great guest, and Ron, I so know that you could talk for, I could talk to you, and I do, for 4 hours at a clip. If anybody would like to hear next week, we are going to do, we're going to go through the age of Aquarius again. If you think that this is hitting for 2,000 some odd years, you can only imagine how long Ron and I can talk about that. So please tune in. Today I have we always pick one person. And if you're in chat, you can give me your name. Well, actually, you don't even need your name. You need your birth date, your birth time exactly, and where you were born. We always pick somebody in chat. I have 3 weeks out so far, but if you put your name in there, we pick one person to be able for Ron to give them a reading. Ron is very good. To get a reading from Ron is a gift. And if you want a reading from him, he's always available. His readings are long. They're fabulous. They're in depth. And you can, again, get him at livingastro.com. I'm going to bring the guest.
I'm sorry, not to interrupt you. It's livingastro at AOL.com.
.com. I'm so
living
sorry,
Astro
Ron.
Livingastro at AOL.
Yeah, it's
sorry,
livingastro. I want to do that. Livingastro at AOL.com.
I did not mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, you have to, because I gave it to everybody wrong, and I don't want to do that. But I do that with my own. So thank you. I appreciate it. That's the way to get a hold of Ron. He has very famous people that he reads for. So if you do want your astrological full chart done, that's how you read him at Living. That's how you get a hold of him at livingastro@aol.com. I'm going to bring the guest in that you're going to speak with, and I'm going to unmute Brooke. Brooke?
Hi.
Hey, honey.
Hi, Ron. Hi, Bonnie.
Hello, Brooke.
We're so happy to have you. Let me just announce to everybody who we have. We have one of my dear friends, Brooke Monfort. She's also a psychic empath. She does everything. Actually, she's psychic, empathic, mediumistic. She reads energies. She is a pleasure to have. She also puts her foot on the other side. And she does a lot of writing, ghost writing. She's just amazing. She's one of the smartest people I know, and I know plenty of very smart, intelligent people. She fits in right in there with them, not including me because they're too smart for me. But anyway, I just love her to death, and now I'm going to introduce you to Ron. Ron and Brooke, you go for it, guys.
Thank you, Brooke.
Hi, Ron.
It's a pleasure to meet you. I got your birth information the other week and set up your chart. You know, this is really an interesting chart. Now, I won't mention any personal things. I'll just talk about the chart overview, but it is really fascinating. First of all, you've got a great number of water sign-placed planets. And water signs are Pisces, Cancer, and Scorpio. Now, the average person in the world, no matter where they're born, in what country or what region, will tend to have 2 or 3 planets in each of the categories, fire, earth, air, and water. So 2 or 3 water is normal, but you've got six placements of water signs. Now, that means you've come into this lifetime to truly work on your intuitive, your mystical, your emotional, your feelings, your spiritual nature. This is a fascinating chart because of the water sign energy. This is kind of a textbook type of combination pattern for people who have talent with the intuitive and the metaphysical, and to develop it and go further with it would make total sense in this life. Now, I notice that you've got also a lot of conjunctions, which is not the common thing in people's charts. Most people probably have two conjunctions. Maybe three is pushing it, but you've got four of them. And I notice you've got Uranus and Jupiter conjunct. That means these planets are sitting next to each other. Neptune and Mercury conjunct, Sun and Saturn conjunct, and Moon and Mars conjunct. Now, when I see that many, that indicates power. To me, conjunctions indicate some type of concentrated power. So when you look at the chart as a whole and see all these water signs, the power that the conjunctions are saying are in your intuitiveness, your emotions, your feelings, and your ability to go beyond the standard feelings into the metaphysical feelings and intuitive. Another couple things interesting, it's very unusual to have Venus retrograde because it only does that about every 2.5 years. And when you were born, it happened to have been backing up or retrograding. Now, of course, planets don't actually put their sense into reverse and move backwards. It's just how we perceive them from looking out into space. At times, planets, not the sun or moon, but planets will appear to back up. And something like Venus or Mars that are so close to the Earth, they do not get into a retrograde phase too often. And it's fascinating because in looking at your chart, whenever a person is born with a retrograde Venus, it means to me that any person they would meet in an attracting way, dating, romance, going steady, marriage, is not a new soul for them, that you would tend to attract individual or individuals that you've known in past lives that you would be picking up again, repeating or reinstating relationship energies. And this goes back throughout your whole life. It could go back to early attractions like puppy love in high school. So Venus retrograde indicates not things are bad. Sometimes astrologers misinterpret that. It means reconnecting, reinstating. And it's retrograde right now, by the way, Brooke. It turned retrograde the 21st of December, 2013, and it's going to stay retrograde till I think January 30th of our present month, 2014. And that means anybody right now who meets somebody new between December 21st and January 30th, even that indicates that it's not a new soul energy between those two people, that even when it's retrograde in the sky and we meet somebody, it's somebody else from a past energy. Or a child born with it, like you had it, will have it in their chart their whole life. And Venus sits with that whole group of planets that you have in Scorpio, Venus, Saturn, Sun, and Mercury. And this really is powerful, powerful. This means you have the ability to penetrate beyond the veil. You have the ability to go really deep into research and deep into perception and deep into discovery. In fact, you could actually have a talent among many talents to help souls that are trapped, earthbound, and help them release and leave the physical plane behind. Because Scorpio is particularly good when there are spirit manifestations in houses, buildings, and places. They're very sensitive to spirit energies and spirits that should be out of the physical plane that are still there. And then they have not only the sensitivity for it, they often have that ability to intercommunicate with them and help them move on. The other thing is you've got Uranus conjunct Jupiter. Now, that impresses me because I look at that as the astrologer's aspect. Uranus is the ruling planet of Aquarius, and as such is the ruler of the new age, the age we're starting now or fairly recently started in the whole solar system. And anytime Jupiter connects with the planet, it expands and makes larger and makes grander and makes more empowered any energy of that planet. And Uranus is the planet that I see connected with astrology because it's the planet that helps the individual understand their own uniqueness. It's the planet that helps the individual find abilities or talents about themselves that they may not consciously know. And as such, virtually every astrologer I've ever met has Aquarius planets in their chart, that's Uranus's sign, or prominent aspects of the planet Uranus. And you've got the best one of all, Uranus conjunct Jupiter. This means you not only could be an astrologer, you could be an astrologer extraordinaire, because you have great capacity to see into human beings. Their cycles.
I am an amateur astrologer.
Are you? Wow, I wouldn't be shocked by that. I would actually say, why should I say even are you? I would say, yes, I could see that making sense. Jupiter always makes things bigger and larger, and it gives a bigger and larger interest, bigger or larger talent with astrology. But Uranus beyond astrology also represents your fellow human beings in the world. It represents humanity as a whole. And with Jupiter near Uranus, both in Cancer, in your birth chart, this means you've got a great talent to really help other countries, other places, other people, even if you don't go there. You can work with meditations, you can work with visualizations, you could work with directed energies, you could work with things just from the consciousness within yourself and the higher consciousness within yourself. So you could send healing energy to places where there is a lot of toxic matter scarring the earth, or where there's war going on, or things that to help the land itself and to help the human beings that live in that type of area or region by having Jupiter conjunct Uranus in the house of humanity too. Uranus is very strong in the 11th house because it rules the 11th sign, Aquarius. So you've got Uranus, so to speak, at home in that house. You're about to get a Jupiter return, my friend, July, right between the 10th and the 14th of July. Jupiter will be sitting back on itself for the first time in 12 years because that is the time that it's at the ending of Cancer. And you've got it at the ending degree of Cancer. So the last time you had that was 2002, and you're getting it now in 2014. This is a particularly important summer for you to think big, to start big new projects, to launch major things that you are capable of doing. And I noticed that you've got the sun, which indicates your empowerment, in the third house, the house of communication. So you could be an extraordinarily good writer, author. You could be a very good journalist. You could be very gifted with words. So with this type of chart, I would launch some type of book or written matter or launch something for publishing as Jupiter is getting near Uranus and getting near itself as we're approaching early to mid-July. You can do it before then, but I would keep that pretty intact because this is big energy, and once Jupiter passes over itself, like I said, between July 10th and July 14th, it won't be back there again for 12 years. So it'll be 2026 the next time you get that transit. So this is interesting. And you're finally going to get Saturn moving further into Scorpio, away from itself and away from your sun, because you've got a sun-Saturn conjunction. And in all honesty, I'm going to tell you something. That means in this lifetime, your soul kind of rolled up its spiritual sleeves and decided to take a lot of concentrated karma and some very intense and power-bearing issues, and I don't mean holding power, but issues that are very powerful, to work on, to rise through, to conquer, to rise out of. Because whenever the sun is near Saturn, or Saturn's very prominent in the chart, like conjunct the ascendant or conjunct the moon, meaning next to those points, that's a sign that the soul has taken on a lot more than, let's say, the average person. So it doesn't mean poverty. It doesn't have to mean abuse. It doesn't have to mean a terrible life oh, some astrologers instantly assume that. It means to me taking on a lot and clearing out a lot. It's like a clearinghouse kind of energy. And so you're really making some progress in this life without even knowing you. I can see from having that configuration. You've taken a lot on your shoulders. And you could also look at it from this area. Once you clear more and more karma out, you are more diversified than most people. You could be an astrologer. You could be a writer. You could be a psychic reader. You could be a person who clears entities who are earthbound. You've got great ability in many ways. You could even be a great healer by having those Scorpio planets, because Pluto, the ruler of Scorpio, relates to healing. Now, you're sensitive to Pluto and its transits. And Pluto has been going through your fourth house now for years and years, and it's now leaving. First time in, I can't even tell you how many years. It's now
it's
aligning
about
2000. With the cusp of, it seems like 1,000, huh?
Well, it feels like 1,000, but it went into my fourth house around 2000.
Oh, that's so long ago. That means Pluto has been moving through the house of where you live, your home, your established roots and existence in life since that time. As this decade started, as this century started, it entered that area. Well, I can tell you that it's leaving in later January. It's going across 12 degrees Capricorn, and it's moving into the fifth house, and it's getting out of the fourth. Now, it will be out of that house until about August 1st. By retrograde action, it'll kind of touch back in to the fourth house, the house of where you live, your home, in August, September, October, and either in mid-October or mid-November, it'll be finally getting out of it permanently. But that little return will be nothing compared to the years it's been in there, because wherever Pluto goes in your chart, pay really strong attention to it. It's a slow mover, but that's your ruler of all those planets that you have in Scorpio. And Pluto has made you, and this is going to sound like a funny expression, Brooke, it's made you move to a place, and then the usefulness of being in that place was killed off, and you moved again. And you moved to a place, and it might have been okay for a short period of time, and the usefulness for being there was killed off, and you moved to another place. Pluto represents that which we consider killing off, and I don't mean literally a killing with a gun. I mean it runs out of its purpose for being there, and it's meant for us to go on to somewhere else. So you've had like a gypsy-like existence off and on in these past 13 to 14 years, and now you're coming to solidarity. You're coming to rooting. You're coming to stabling. What were you going to say?
When I saw that Pluto was going to move into my fourth house, I got rid of almost everything I owned.
I just boiled
all my possessions down to a small amount because I knew that I might be moving a lot.
And I'm sure you move more in this period since it's been in there than at most other times in your life.
Like crazy.
Well, now look at where it's going. It's going into the house, number 5, of love given forth and love that we extend outward. And that's the house that rules children, and that's the house that rules pets, the kind of love we extend towards a child, the kind of love we extend towards our pets. But even if we go beyond that, it's the love that comes from our heart center to extend outward into others, even if it's others we don't know or places that we don't know. So Pluto is going to give you a strong vibrationary use for sending healing and love out to people, even if you're not present with them as it moves through that house. And it's going to do a few interesting things for you. Number one, we attract things to us through our mind. And why? When we would see something like The Secret of a few years ago, it taught us to make vision boards and write diaries down and reread them and use the power of the mind through the power of vibrationary attraction to bring things into our life. Well, as it goes through your fifth house, you're going to discover a second way of attracting that isn't just the mind. It's going to be the heart and the heart center, because this is the house that is related to Leo and the heart. And the heart is the second way to attract, but it attracts through a different way than the mind. the mind through thought forms and thought form energy, the heart through love and desire. So you can find that you will be experimenting with and creating more and more manifestations and reality in your life through the expansion and intensification of your heart center and using much more the powers of love and desire for attraction than you may have ever done before in your life. In the many years Pluto will go through this house, which will be probably 12 years or more. So it isn't going to start the first time it's there. It'll develop during the time it's going through that. Think of this. We breathe through two different ways. We can breathe through our nose. We can breathe through our mouth. So there are two different ways that we attract manifest energy in our life, and most people are not even aware that the heart center is the second one. They're only aware of the thinking and the mind because that's what we've been conditioned to do and we so naturally respond to. But it's going to open up your heart center and its vibrationary power. And one of the reasons why this is interesting is it's going to eventually cross over your moon. Now, you've got planets in the fifth house. You don't in the fourth. It's going to cross over your moon in Aquarius and your Mars in Aquarius. And as such, it's going to really, really, really focus you into this lifetime for what your creative energies were meant to be in this, your birth into the first life in the age of Aquarius. This is everybody's first life in the age of Aquarius, unless they were a very young person, died suddenly, and then were reborn. But for the rest of us, as this age is just starting, this is everybody's first incarnation in it. And I notice you've got that Aquarius moon in an early degree, too, and Mars in fairly early degree, aligned with the moon. And it won't be that long till Pluto leaves Capricorn. It's not quite halfway through it, but it's getting close. And it will enter Aquarius, and it will be there for in the future when it crosses over your moon. And that's going to be the flowering point of your life because it means that you have contributed so much to the world through your abilities and talents, so much through the abilities and knowledge that you have, that you're going to really kind of connect then with the feminine power of creation, the goddess energy. And many people make fun out of goddess energies or people explaining things in the feminine vibration, but what they don't understand is the female power of creation, the feminine, is equally as strong as the masculine. And when I look at the astrology charts, I see the sun as representing the god, male power of creation, and the moon, the goddess, female power of creation, which again are equal to each other. And when Pluto crosses over this moon, it's going to kind of open up a panoramic connection with yourself and spiritual beings that come through in feminine forms, guides and teachers that appear in a feminine embodiment, angelic beings that appear as females, and you're going to have also an ability to look at the whole evolution of your soul in where it lived, the moon, the home, in past lives, and many places of existence that led you right to this birth in this life as Brooke when Pluto gets over that moon. Now, that's a ways yet to come. The first part is the opening up of the heart center and the opening up of the connection with the other form of attracting and experimenting with it and developing it. And you might also find yourself in this year and beyond working with people on a day-to-day existence who may have issues with vibrations of their pets and their children. They may ask you questions about giving them help or answers through something they could do for their children or help their children or give answers about their children. And maybe if somebody has lost a pet, to give you a sense of, could you pick up where the animal is and could I go out and find it? Because the fifth house also deals specifically with those things in our day-to-day life. But you're getting away from the gypsy moving, and you're getting more into the expansion of attraction through the second way of attraction, the heart center. I've talked so much. Do you have any questions before anything?
Actually, you answered a lot of the questions that I had, so thank you. And, no, I'm just really relieved. I'm relieved about Pluto leaving the fourth house because I got so tired of moving.
It'll keep you stable now.
And thank you so much for the dates. because I'm working on a memoir. And now you've given me more fire to finish it and get it, publish it by the summer.
See, you're a very detailed person. You've got Virgo ascending, and which is highly detailed, and you've got the four planets in Scorpio, which have an eye of an eagle and see everything. And so you put those combinations together. When you write, when you create things, you're going to do it in an extremely detailed, precise, thorough, complete way with that combination. Mm-hmm. That's also a talent for writing, because if when and if you write, you can create an image of a person or an image of a statement that's so thoroughly, detailedly explained that people can see, if you create a fictional character, they could see them as a living, breathing human being through the way you create their imagery.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That is amazing.
That's the goal. That's the goal.
Hey, can I talk? I haven't talked.
Go ahead,
I have to tell you, I have never not talked for half an hour. I've been so intrigued. And because you are so wonderful, Ron, because you make everything, I can totally understand her chart now. I mean, you actually explain it while you're giving it to her. So I know all the people listening, even though they might not know Brooke, you have just given her so much. And I love that, because everything you said about Brooke, because you don't know Brooke, she knows she can do. And she is just such a powerful lady. In fact, next week she's going to start reading for people on this radio station. So she didn't want to do it at first, but, you know, she's done it before. And I told her it's time to get out and do this again. It's a gift she has to share with everybody. And she does, and she has. I wanted to just let you know, Ron, because I know you have to go. But she does read energies off the wall. She goes in and she gets spirit out, and she has a different way of dealing with them before she sends them to the light. So you've gotten her totally the exact what she is. And she's a writer. Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
There is one more thing, Brooke, that always think about this. You've got the North Node in Capricorn. That's very similar to having the Sun conjunct Saturn. That, in a way, means the same thing. Think of it this way. Saturn rules Capricorn. So the North Node in Capricorn gives you the destiny to go in the direction of Capricorn precision and energies, and the Sun conjunct Saturn means the same thing. So you're moving out of a Cancer past life energy, family, mother, home, nurturing, memories, possessions. You're moving into a work and an achievement and a balancing energy of karma in this life.
Hey, Ron.
Well, it certainly felt like that. I knew. I've always known I was working a lot out.
Can I ask you a question, Ron? Do you see this?
Yes.
See, because she's going to be my publicist. She's going to write my memoirs, and she is going to, not that she's doing that now, but I wanted Brooke, she's done my press pack, because that's going to come out, and we're going to send that away so that I can, you know, have a show that I can actually showcase everybody on that's metaphysical. And Brooke is the girl I'm taking with me. So hopefully, I mean, I don't know. She might be too famous for me to do, but she is probably one of the best writers and taskmasters, because she tries to keep me on task. She doesn't always – she pulls me back in whenever I start running into 10 different directions. So you even got that part of it right.
Well,
that's the Virgo ascendant, Bonnie.
You've got Jupiter in Cancer, and Bonnie's a Cancer, so you are good for each other. And Uranus in Cancer.
Oh, yeah.
So
that we both have our moons in Aquarius.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. I know. How about that? I can't believe that. Ron, I know you have to go, and I want to thank you for being in. Unless Brooke has something else to ask you, I know you have an appointment. I would love to keep you on, and I know Kelly is waiting in the wings here. Kelly, I know you can hear me, Kelly. I love you. I'm picking you up in 1 second. But, in fact, I'm going to pick you up now so you can say hello to Ron. But go ahead. You can talk to Ron. Go ahead while I pick Kelly up.
Ron, I just want to thank you so much. You really helped me get more clarity on the the things that are going on in my life and that have been going on, and you gave me some great confirmation. So thank you so much.
And you know what? It's not that much longer till Saturn finally gets out of Scorpio and gives you a relief. Christmas Eve of this year, it gets out and goes into Sagittarius. And so even this year ends in a wonderful thing for you. You'll finally get Saturn away from your four Scorpio planets.
Oh, good. Good. Well, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Brooke. I love
you. Thank you, Bonnie.
I love you. Oh, Ron, you know what? You're my favorite, and I love you. And you know what I was thinking, and this is what I was really thinking before you run, is, you know, you teach astrology, and you teach advanced astrology. And I know Brooke is an astrologer. So, and you know, I want to take the course also. I'm much more a newbie. But, you know, you could even, you know, Brooke, get a hold of Ron because he does teach advanced courses.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Oh, maybe Brooke left. Oh, yeah, she did. Okay, well, I'll see if I can get you connected because maybe, you know, you could be like, you know, a Montessori where you can teach me and then go over and teach her, you know, so that we can make a class together.
Montessori, huh?
Yeah, I love you, Ron, and I'll talk to you later today, okay?
Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you, Ron. I love you, and you know that. Mwah! Have a great day.
Love to you too, back Bonnie. Goodbye now.
Thanks. Bye bye. And Kelly, I will. Kelly.
Hello. Listening.
Hi.
I wish Ron would teach those. Does he teach classes by Skype? Perhaps.
Yeah. Well,
so some of us at a distance could get in on those.
I think so, and I've tried to get him. He does teach courses, and he said he was putting together some classes. He is so amazing, Kelly, and that would be great because I don't think you need to be in my class. You need to be in Brooke's class. So at least he would get two in that class, and I would just be the newbie because you and her have so much more knowledge than I do. And even though I love it, you have both seemed to be able to study all of that before I could. But I have to tell everybody because I'm not going to play the song because we have, again, a full board. And I love you all out there. And please, please, Kelly, I'm going to let Kelly announce herself after I do a little. Kelly is a Atlantean life card reader and a very close friend. And she's become one of my favorite co-host because we have such great admiration for her. The talent that she has is so different from everybody else. I have never, ever met a card reader like Kelly. She reads a normal deck of cards. I shouldn't say normal because for Kelly, they're the deck of cards of life. And Kelly is so fabulous. I'm going to let you tell everybody. You get a hold of Kelly. You get a hold of Kelly by phone, and I'll let you give out your number. But if you want a reading from Kelly and you like what you hear here, either come back and listen, try to get on so she can read for you, or give her a call because she does do readings. We all do readings. We love you to get this all of this for your knowledge. But if you want more in-depth and you can't get on, please call us. We do. That's our livelihood. That's what we do. Kelly, you give your number and tell everybody what you do and a little bit about the cards before you start.
All righty. Well, my phone number is, the best one is 719-289-4907. And sometimes I never can tell if it's computer calls or people, so it's like the only way I can tell the difference, people leave me messages and I will return messages. I'm not psychic enough to know who wants a reading and who doesn't. But the caveat out there is I also do coffee. So what you hear when you call that number is the coffee infomercial.
I love that.
You
want
to skip ahead to that? You can skip that part. It's like, yeah, I know. Somebody made a crack a long time ago about coffee and cards, and I went, you know, I might just put that on my business card because it really works. It works for me.
Oh, yeah, I'm a coffee drinker, so if you had that, I'd be like, coffee Kelly, coffee Kelly, good, okay. So thank you.
Oh, golly. Oh, yeah. Let's see, I'm also on Facebook. I do a Facebook group called Spiritual Learning Connection, and, well, for the past For the past couple, 3 weeks, I haven't been in cyberspace much because we've been doing too much in the 3D world. It's like we've had my daughter and her husband have relocated. They remodeled the house first, and we helped them, you know, shuffle everything from point A to point B. And now we are shuffling everything from point A to point B about a mile down the road. It's what I call like the Arabian Nights, a 1001 nightmare move. It's taking car loads by
honey,
one.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, I know.
Been there, done that.
No, I'm not in cyberspace.
Been there, done that.
We're
so happy. We are so happy that you're here with us, because I didn't even know with your move if you would be. And I know everybody, I've got like a full board, Cal, so we're going to have to get to them. But I know you're so wonderful, and everybody loved you and appreciates you. And we love that people in chat, I don't think chat is open. I think it was left open for all of you in chat.
Yes, Diana.
I can't. Oh, good. No, Diana had to go, I think. So she said she's leaving chat open, and I'm hoping somebody's in there. That just to let you know, I can't talk and write at the same time. So Diana usually texts me your questions. If there's anybody in chat, any of my psychic friends, my intuitive friends, my hosts, please feel free to talk to the chat. Please get in. I love my chat people. I see one already on the board. She's also a psychic medium. I am going to showcase her on this show in a little bit. I think in February. She was just she just called the show, and we knew how talented she was, Kelly. So I have a girl for you I'm going to pick up, and I think she knows who I'm going to say. I didn't know she'd be on the board today, and that's a very sweet soul. I don't know her personally, but I know her from being in chat, and I know from other readings, and
cool.
She's going to want to talk to you. But first, can you tell
everybody
just a little bit about your cards and how they work?
I can. I do want to take this opportunity here. There's several people in chat who had heard, you know, caught part of what you said about when Ron was doing, you know, readings and stuff. I believe Luna Rose had put her birthday and time and stuff up earlier, and it's like for some reason I can't. My chat doesn't go up that far in the history, but I think there's two or three people in chat right now who would like to be on your list of guests. So how can they get a hold of you? Like off air, because I think you're not in chat, right? It's like that's usually Diana does that. Is that right?
Yeah, and Diana, I don't think she's in there. And so if you could ask them, please, because I can't see that list. One day I will when I can learn how to talk and chat at the same time. Anybody out there, please either use my email, B Albers. It's BALBERF. 714@AOL.com. Leave your name. Say, hi, I was in chat. Here's my information. I am also on Facebook, and my name on Facebook is Bonnie Albers On Air, or my personal Facebook, which everybody wants to join, and I want everybody to join so that you'll all get, you know, your prompt for the show, is Bonnie Mozenter, M-O-Z-E-N-T-E-R, Albers, my last name, A-L-B-E-R-S. And I'm also on Skype. So if they're on Skype, it's Bonnie Lynn 57. You can message me there just like you do, Kelly, sometimes, and leave all your information because I do check that. So please, I don't want to miss you because I'm going to start adding, and I'll give you the week that you will be on, just like I did with Kelly and I did with Brooke. So please leave your information. Ron is very good, as you can tell, but I don't want to use this opportunity, but I thank you very much, because, Kelly, you've got a million people waiting for you, girlfriend.
Golly. That's because it's fun, and I enjoy what I do, and it's like this has been, I mean, it's always an exciting time. I mean, you know, we have just had the calendar year change, you know, to 2014, and we had a new moon there. You know, I got to get such a kick out of that last week, because that's the first time in 19 years we've had a new moon on January 1st. So it's like, you know, good things happening this year. And Ron was so awesome with all the info he had last week and whatever. So yeah, he just amazes me. He does. He has so much information.
Yeah.
Oh, golly. What do I do, and how do I do it? I know.
Well, not.
I use the poker deck.
You know what? And I love that because I always, you know, I gave away about five or six tarot decks because I keep thinking I want to read tarot cards. but they don't resonate with me. I got one deck that I love and I still haven't been able to use yet, but you just used a plain deck of cards. It would have been a lot cheaper for me to do that because I could have just picked up a deck of cards, but to me they're just a deck of cards. To you, they're life. So I love that.
Right.
And I'm going to ask you real quick to tell people about it. And what I do want to tell you is I so appreciate that you love Ron. All our co-hosts here try to work together. And I'd love Ron to get a reading from you. So I'm going to try to encourage Ron to come on and get a reading from Susan or you. Yeah, and I want to offer that to him. So
and I love that reading from Susan. It's like she was incredibly, amazingly awesome. She does that Akashic Record readings on Tuesdays.
Oh,
so anybody who's listening is like, definitely say, go on and have Susan do a reading for you. You will just be blown away. That's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. But you know what I got to tell you, and I love, she's on Monday and Tuesday, and you're on Wednesday. I have the most incredible, amazing co-hosts, and you're one of them. I try to offer everybody, and me too, so I hope everybody loves me too.
I know, I was going to say. What's your name, Bonnie?
Yeah, I love spirits.
You do loving relationships. Come on.
I do. I bring in more spirits through on Monday and Tuesday. So when she opens that Akashic Record, she says Akashic, I say Akashic. She, the cool thing about Susan is that I see what she opens. So we work like as a mat, she doesn't need me, but when she opens those Akashic records, the spirit comes right to me. So I see. And so it's cool that we do that together. But I try to feature co-hosts that are fabulous, that are informative, and love what they do. So I thank you for even thinking that, Kelly, because we all like sharing our gifts. So I appreciate it. So if you tell everybody what's your gift and how you work the cards, I'm telling you, you have a girlfriend, you have a full board.
Okay. Well, most of my work was done by people, I'll say probably 20,000 years ago. The Atlantean people on the continent there worked this up, and they worked this, what we know now as our poker deck, was called the Little Book. And it's called the Cards of the Magi, and they were developed specifically for our planet, which has 365 and one-fourth days. And coincidentally, when you add up the numbers in the deck of cards, that's what they add up to. They add up to 364, and then you add the Joker, because there's one day a year when we have the Joker as a birth date is December 31st, and that's the only day of the year, the only person that we can't really read through the system is the person who's born on December 31st, because they're the Joker and they can be literally any card in the deck. But the rest of them are it's very mathematical, it's very, deals with numbers and just think of math algorithms out the wazoo, and there's literally for each and every card, there is a layout from the time you're born, from what they call the zero year, clear up to year 99, which is basically your 100th year. So there's 100 years of layouts on each and every card, and they do have some, I'll say things I can say generally is that everybody has kind of what they call this midlife crisis, because we deal on, I think it was Nikola Tesla that said that the frequency that the Earth runs on is about 360, something like that, hertz. I don't know if it's hertz, megahertz, whatever it is, but it's a vibration, it's a frequency. And each and every one of us, the day we're born, it's like we go through the first 45 years, and at year 45, we have what's called a rebirth. Now, year 44 is a pre-birth, and then there's a couple other things that happen. I mean, there's, different things that just happen along. There's pinnacle years. There's all kinds of things. You can do life readings with this system. You can do relationship readings, whether it's with spouses, whether it's between, parent and children, whether it's, grandparents and children, whatever. There's business partners. I mean, there's all kinds of applications for these cards and how people interact and how the cards interact with each other. And it's just, it's phenomenal. So I can't really take any of the credit because I didn't, I'll say in this life I didn't develop any of that, but I will say it really resonates with me and some of the stuff that I've done. I have, I'll just say, some memories of being on the, quote, team that developed them many, many years ago. But that's probably why they came to me this life, because it makes a lot of sense. And it does. Still makes a lot of sense. I love math.
Well, Kelly, I got to tell you, you know who they say your energy is, and I want everybody to know before I take a caller. Well, Kelly got a reading from a very excellent, powerful spirit medium that used to be on the show named Phil Renton, and he was so amazed because he doesn't really read that. But the minute he saw Kelly, he said, Kelly, you have, was it Newton or Einstein? You have the energy of Einstein, and I mean the energy. And so he said, you shouldn't even be here. In fact, you don't even know why you're here. You weren't supposed to come to Earth this time. Kelly is so another one of those really, 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 really bright women who I can't do math, but she can sit there. It kind of reminded me of that movie. There was a movie where they had all these numbers on the wall, and she reminds me every time I think of Kelly, I see that movie. But the good news is Kelly is here. She's grounded with us today, and she's going to take her first caller. But yes, I was in Atlantis too, Kelly, but I was working in that crystal factory. Yes, I was. I think we're all connected. I'm going to take the first caller.
Of course we are.
Yes. Because, again, you heard Ron, we all come together to support each other. So I'm going to take 9652. So I'm going to 9652. You are on with Bonnie and Kelly. How are you today, and who are we speaking with?
Hey, it's just Rosemary, and I am fabulous, and I am so delighted to be here.
Oh, Rosemary, I am so
happy.
I am going to introduce you to Rosemary. She's a dolphin healer. So I don't know.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going to introduce you, and I am sure, Rosemary, you don't want to ask about love and relationships because I would tell you what you know I would tell you. So I'm going to hand you over to Kelly, but I'm telling you, I'm chomping at the bit. So, Kelly, this is Rosemary. She's your first caller, and Rosemary, this is Kelly.
Hey, Kelly.
Hello.
So, what a pleasure to meet you.
Likewise. Wow. Healing dolphins. That's amazing.
We are soul sisters. We are soul sisters.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
oh, goodness.
I listened to you at the beginning of the show, so I'm not really sure exactly what it is that you do, and that's okay because it's like Christmas then.
Okay, sounds good. Well, what I need is the easiest way for me to do this is I need the month and day you were born and your current age.
Okay, December 16th.
Okay.
And, you know, I kind of figured you were going to ask that, and I think it's 57. I was born in 57. I try not to say that. But... So
wait,
that
if
right?
You're born at 57, that means you're, wait a minute, I can do the math on this.
Thank God.
54, 55, 50, so you're 50, no, 56, this is 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, yeah, so you're 57 this year, right?
Well, all right, last year, yeah, I turned
born 57. Born in 57 and also 57. I think there's some numerical things going on with that with, you know, your golden year and stuff, too. I'm not sure.
Sweet.
Oh, goodness. Okay, December 16th, you are a two of clubs, and you have a four of diamonds as a planetary ruler. So let's see a little bit. I don't know, did you have a specific question or something you wanted to look at in specific or just kind of want to do the general run-through?
Well, this year I asked for money and love. Last year I asked for travel and money, but they gave me travel and didn't hear or ignored my request for money.
Okay.
This year I went, hello, money. You heard, I know you heard that.
Money is always good, right? And relationships, the big two, money and relationships. Okay, well, let's see. Just a little bit in general about you. Wide variety of personalities in the two of clubs people. You seem like one of the really, let's see, you're Sagittarian, so you're probably going to be one of the more outgoing type of social person. You enjoy stimulating conversations, and the name of your card is actually called the conversation card. The only thing you have to watch sometimes is If in high school, if they had a debate team where you went, you were probably on it because you were one of those people that if, you know, you believe in something, you can win an argument, hands down. That's the only contraindication with the conversationist card is they can be argumentative and they love to do that debate and that argumentation because they're so good at it and they usually win. So let's see. You also love to talk and share ideas. You've got really an incredible mind that can make fine distinctions. You're witty, charming. Your only, caveat there is don't get caught up in your fear because it's fear that makes you irritable and argumentative. Much of your life is very faded. Part of your challenge is simply to accept things as they are. It's like learning that through this go-round, especially yourself and your closest relationships. Now, in relationships, some of the most physically beautiful and attractive, intelligent people are two of clubs. And it's like we can look, kind of through the who's who guest list because they always give us celebrity people. But, people usually look at them and think, you could have almost anyone that you want to have. And it's a mystery in some cases why you choose the people whom you end up with. That's more of a trait with the female clubs than the males. But your love relationships are more a reflection of your state of inner wellness and self-love than any other factor. You really use that as a mirror. If your inherent fear has not been recognized and confronted, you often settle for just anyone just to avoid being alone. Or, you could even settle for someone, who is abusive or psychotic or weird in some way. It can lead to undesirable relationships.
But in the past, I would have to say, but not anymore. I don't settle anymore.
All right. That's good. So you've been through that lesson part. Okay,
yep,
you got a Six of Spades in Pluto and a Queen of Cart result card, and the Queen of Hearts is called actually the marriage card, and it's often indicators that you're going to have one or more fated relationships. It's really meant to help you learn the meaning of responsibility in your affections, which, like I say again, it sounds like you've already been through that, and that's kind of that midlife crisis I started talking about was at 45. We get the same group of cards that we had when we came into this planet at age zero, except we've got 45 years worth of learning behind it, and we really have that opportunity to up everything in octave and really reform our lives from 45 to 90, or 45 to 100.
Yep, you're right.
The meaning of the Six of Spades Pluto card, we need to kind of really look at that. It's often associated with whatever hurdle stands between you and satisfaction and love. You've got a Four of Hearts in Mars. Often you choose a mate who is either very argumentative or sometimes aggressive or, very sensual, sexual. And you can be the instigators of the arguments that come up from time to time because you're the conversation card or the argumentative card. And really and truly, you've got the mind, again, that you can pick things apart and just find every shortcoming and mistake, whatever. But it sometimes it's too analytical. It's like you don't always, you can find them, but you don't. It's one of those you don't always take your own advice. I'll put it that way. Okay. So
yep.
I'm not sure if you're in a relationship now. If you if you found that person, if you still kind of
looking
for that person. Okay.
No, it's weird, and we don't have enough time to even begin in that story. And it's a soul connection, and that's okay. I don't know what's going to happen, and that's okay. I don't care. So
okay.
That's kind of my secondary thing,
I guess that's
really
the argumentative card.
Yeah. Hey, I'm trying to be flexible, except that I will have to say, whatever you want to do, that's fine. I don't care. Not to say that that won't have a repercussion of, my choice of what I decide after that, but I don't care what you
do.
There you go, Cal. Go ahead for it, girlfriend.
Oh, boy. Well, and what's really nice here is you're calling in early enough here. You're December 16th being your I'll say birth anniversary because we only have one birthday. The rest of them are anniversaries.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So this year you've got the two of diamonds as your long range. So there's really a focus on partnership for finances, or possibly, you know, the deeper meaning between diamonds is your values. And it's like it's finding things, you know, what is really of value to you this year, but also getting some stability and being in partnership with someone.
Right.
For that. In the Mercury time frame, which is where you're at, interestingly enough, you've got a Four of Hearts and a Jack of Hearts here starting your year off. Four of Hearts is also known as like the secondary marriage card. The Four of Hearts and the Queen of Hearts tend to both, the Queen of Hearts is especially the marriage card, and the Four of Hearts is really close to it. They're, you know, they're like a pair. So there's an interest there, you know, with somebody or something's going to happen. Mercury is always, it's mercurial. It's like that flash in the pan. It's, you know, can be a short time frame, can be something, but there's somebody who's either come in or, like you say, who you're with or, you know, whatever right now, but there's that interest possibly in having a more secure relationship, more solid relationship with them. The contraindication on this is, because it's also a Jack of Hearts paired with that four, that could either be the birth card of the person, you know, that you're looking for or with. But it's also, you know, somebody who's younger at heart. Jacks tend to be, there's always this flip side of the coin. There's, you know, the good and the bad, the yin and the yang. Jacks are very creative, a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm. The flip side is, you always want to watch your pocketbook around them. They have a tendency to overspend, to, you know, kind of take you out on a financial limb. Some if they're really dishonest, will actually pick your purse for you.
Oh, boy.
Help themselves to your, you know, whatever. So just be aware of that, okay? But there's a lot of really good qualities with this Jack of Hearts. It's also known, I believe, as a Christ card. So there's a lot of sacrifice that does go on in their life with you know, younger people, you know, with children or with, you know, nieces, nephews, you know, adopt, you know, say adopted family, you know, like we all do with our soul groups. Looking more into your year, and let's see, I'm going to give you some dates here. I'm just kind of running by really quick, and you can come back and listen to these in archives.
Sure.
So you kind of have a generic rundown of your year, unless your pencil writes real fast. But your Mercury, of course, started on your birth anniversary, and then it goes till February 7th. On Venus, your Venus time frame starts on February 7th, and it goes until March 31st. Mars starts with March 31st and goes till May 22nd. Jupiter, your blessed time of the year, a lot of blessings there, starts May 22nd and goes till July 13th. Your Saturn time frame starts on July 13th and goes till September 3rd. The Uranian time frame, Uranus, goes from September 3rd till October 25th. And then Neptune comes in, very last guy there, from October 25th until your next birth anniversary. So that's your, you know, your specific dates for your specific year there. And we'll just kind of look at the cards that are in there. I'll go through them all first so you have them, and then, you know, we'll go through as many as we can here.
Okay.
In your Venus time frame, you've got a Five of Spades and a Four of Clubs. In the Mars time frame, you have an Eight of Clubs and a Jack of Clubs. The Jupiter time frame, you have a Queen of Diamonds and an Ace of Diamonds. In the Saturn time is a Five of Hearts and a Two of Diamonds. Uranus gives you a King of Diamonds and a Nine of Diamonds. Neptune is Three of Spades. And then there's other four other cards besides the long range card being that affect you for the year. Long range card being the Two of Diamonds. You've got a Pluto and result, which are read as a pair. Pluto is your biggest challenge for the year, and the result is the card that comes with it. So your Pluto card is a Ten of Clubs. The result card is the Queen of Hearts. Your environmental card is the Queen of Clubs, and your displacement card is the Four of Clubs for this year. So just kind of looking at this overall, Five of Spades is the card of the Wanderer, and so there's going to be some restlessness there, you know, maybe some relocation. That's in Venus, so it's like it's a lot more positive, but you have an underlying Four of Clubs there in that, so whatever challenges you're facing that, you know, that come up with that wandering, it's like you will have the power and ability to overcome. It'll be a smoother transition than what it ordinarily could have been. I always kind of think of the odd number cards are the ones that give us our challenges, and even in some ways, and the even numbers in the cards, you know, kind of help us smooth things out.
Okay.
In your Mars time frame, you've got the Eight of Clubs, which is known as the most psychic card in the deck. Mars time deals with men, with legal issues, with things happening, you know, in that area. So, you know, you've got two very powerful cards there, that Eight of Clubs and a Jack of Clubs, those pair together. Also, the clubs of the deck are the scholars of the deck, and it might be a time to look at learning, you know, more schooling or, you know, something like that if you're either interested in taking subjects yourself or, you know, taking extended, adult learner courses, or whether there's something that you have to offer that you're going to be offering to other people. Jupiter time frame looks fantastic. It's like you've got a Queen of Diamonds and Ace of Diamonds there. So it's new ways of making money, and the Queen of Diamonds is also about self-mastery of your finances. And that's in your blessed time of the year. So it's like anytime you get diamonds in Jupiter, usually you're going to have money coming in. So that's really
yay!
A positive. Yay, exactly.
Finally.
Your Saturn time frame.
I like that.
Absolutely. Your Saturn time frame turns around, and it gives you a Five of Hearts and a Two of Diamonds. The Five of Hearts is sometimes called the divorce card, or it's, you know, card of separation. So whatever's happening in Saturn is usually a little bit karmic. Saturn is also a really heavy time of the year because, you know, where Jupiter is your expansive time, you know, it's your blessings. Saturn tends to turn right around and go, okay, now you've had your fun. Now we're going to put the thumb screws on. Now you're going to work like a dog. It can be very, very heavy energy there. So there's something going to transition with relationships. There's going to be some changes. You're going to have some restlessness in relationship during that time frame. But there's that underlying Two of Diamonds. Again, you've got that Two of Diamonds twice. So it's, you know, it's wanting to be in partnership with someone with finances. So there may be, when you enter into a partnership with someone with finances, it may cause some conflict in a current relationship, you know, something like that. Not sure exactly how that, you know, how it works out, but it's like there'll be those issues, you know, coming up. So just, you know, part of it is just being aware, your own
right.
awareness. In the Uranian time frame, that is the age of Aquarius. It's the double lightning bolt. It's like things come unexpected, but you've got a really amazingly good card there is that King of Diamonds is the businessman's card. So it's an unexpected, really good way of being in business for yourself. It's mastering your finances. And then
mm-hmm.
also paired with it, though, is that Nine of Diamonds. So it's as one door closes, another door is going to open. There's going to be some kind of closure on things that are happening, again, in an unexpected way. You know, you probably won't see it coming. It's like unless you're really psychic, it's going to, you know, somehow broadside you. But just, you know, hopefully not as bad since the warning sign is up there and you go, oh, wait a minute, I'm looking for this. So it's like hopefully it's not going to, you know, T-bone me totally there. But there is going to be some kind of closure with some sort of finances and a reopening of another. But that King of Diamonds really indicates, as far as business goes, you want to be in business for yourself. You want to be able to make those decisions in your business and really drive your own ship.
Right.
Neptune gives you a Three of Spades, and that is the threes always bring in tremendous creative energy. This is the time of the year, well, you should do this all the time anyway, but if you got one of those little pocket minder things, you know, the little spiral bound itty bitty pocket memo thing,
right. Yeah.
Always carry a little, always carry a pencil or a pen or something with you. When you get these, you know, ideas that just hit you like a lightning bolt out of the blue, put a date on it, write it down, even if it sounds outrageous and you go, oh, I don't know how that, you know, I could ever, you know, get that done or whatever, write it down because there may be times and places where you go, wow, you know what, I'm glad I remember that. It's like, because, you know, I'll be able to use this at this point in time. So things like that, you know, happen, and they sometimes give you a future heads up of like, hey, guess what, this could happen. And you kind of go, you sit there and it's kind of like a cow, you know, chewing on a cud. You think about it, you know, it's going, yeah, maybe. But then all of a sudden a door opens and it's like, wow, I'm glad I wrote that idea down because here it is and I'll be able to utilize it. So really make use of that this year.
Okay.
Again, that Two of Diamonds with the long range, that is, I wanted to look a little bit further into that and see, pre-birth years. See kind of some of the stuff that was, there it is, money partnerships, that's a deal. So it's going to be a major role in your life this year. It could either be a standard business partnership or something really out of the ordinary. But your financial success requires the assistance of others this year. So you can expect to have like many phone calls, meetings, business deals, whatever, to achieve working and successful financial arrangements. By letting others guide you and kind of share in that risk, you increase your finances. You know, everybody kind of throws into the pot and, you know, you all take a risk together, but you come out better. And it does usually bring a great deal of, you know, phone calls, letters, emails, other communications, you know, money, business. And it's very considered very favorable for making more money. Your keywords, these are the things you'd want to put on a 3x5 index card and put up in the, on your bathroom mirror to read those. It's a year of business deals, communications, financial arrangements with others, and money meetings. So a lot of it's called the Wheeler Dealer card, the Two of Diamonds is.
Wow, yeah. I love that.
Well, there's my money I asked for.
That's right. It's coming, Rosemary. Yeah. Be careful what you wish for, they always say.
Well,
so go ahead,
it will
look like you're going to be busy. Right, Carol?
I am ready.
Yeah. Always be careful what you wish for because you will get it.
Yeah, I love that because I got to tell you what my wish is. You know what my wish is, and I won't waste any more of your show's time or my show's time. But, you know, I see myself in a big condo in New York with my own talk show on metaphysics, and I'm bringing everybody with me. So the whole world will get to, and the masses will get to know what spirit is. So, you know, and I see a lot of money ching in my bank account, too. So that's what my wish is. Now, I'm going to have you read my – yeah, I'm going to have to read you read my cards on one of your shows. But I hope are you almost wrapping it up with Rosemary? Because I've got a whole board full of people. So – Rosemary, I love you to death.
Soul sister. Kelly, that was amazing.
Yeah.
You did not bore me. I had to really focus to pay attention because you were going so fast, and I loved everything that you said in there, and I definitely will go through the archive again and you know, pick up what I missed. So thank you so much for that. It was wonderful. Yeah. I appreciate it, and yay!
Yay!
No
problem. Okay. Well, Rosemary, we love you, and we'll talk to you at a later date. But good, have a great day. You know our thoughts
Thank
and hearts
you.
Are with you, and have a great year. I'll see you soon.
Definitely.
Okay, I am going to take the next caller, and the next caller looks like it's Rachel 44. Rachel 44, you're on. Hi, you're
Hi,
on
Bonnie.
With Kelly and Bonnie.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh,
this is another, you know, I don't know Rachel real well. I know when she came on for the last reading, she is a psychic medium. So people, I am so happy and jazzed that everybody would want to come and to our co-host and to me and to be able to share their gifts and want our gifts. And it's just fabulous. I'm assuming, Rachel, you want to talk to Kelly because you're going to be on this. Yeah, you're going to be on this show and you will get featured too. And you and I have an appointment on Skype. I think Diana was making that appointment. So I'm going to give you over to Kelly.
Yeah.
But this is everybody, all the callers and listeners, this is another fabulous woman. You are going to be able to talk to her, and she is going to be able to tell you things too. Kelly, I'm going to introduce you. I don't know her except from the radio show and that we've read for her. So, Kelly, this is Rachel. Rachel, this is Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Rachel.
Hi.
glad to talk to you today.
you too.
Well, you know the drill.
Need your
month and your day and how old you are.
April 27th, 1969, and I'm a pre-birthing 44.
Yes, you are. This is your pre-birth year. And you're getting close to the end of it. So you're generically the 44th year. The pre-birth year, it seems really, it's almost like a London fog. It feels like you just kind of like are walking around. You don't quite exactly, can see, you know, clearly where you're going or what you're doing. But on the positive side, it's like what Jack Canfield says, you know, and The Secret, is that it's like you can drive across country from, you know, New York to California, only 200 feet at a time, using your headlights, you know, in the dark, and that's about what your pre-birth year is like. It's like you can see about 200 feet in front of you with your car headlights.
On the nail.
You just keep going one foot in front of the other, and that's just how you get through the year. Okay, you've got an interesting one here too. You've got, now we've got clubs ladies today here, because you are a seven of clubs, and you have got a queen of spades as your planetary ruler. Sevens are all about, they're the cards of, I'll say spiritual awareness, or, you know, the cards of faith. So this is a lot of your, I don't know, life challenge or life lesson or however you want to, you know, phraseology that, mm-hmm. is you come in and it's you're learning about how to perceive things, but also how to let go of things. And it's one of those oddities where you can, if you think about things in a negative way, you truly manifest what you know what you're focusing on. But yeah. The Seven of Clubs is called the spiritual knowledge card. And, of course, all sevens are the highly spiritual card, but it's really up to each individual to manifest that spirituality and to turn negativity into accomplishment and personal freedom. Until you do that, you know, the seven influences tends to cause one trouble after another, usually in your early life, until you get up, you know, to that. The challenge that Seven of Clubs have rests in the negative aspect of the mind, which are worry, doubt, and pessimism. Because you've got a lot of inherent inspiration and insight, but if you don't follow it, if you don't follow your gut, then Saturn's influence brings a lot of despair and sometimes depression. You've always got the power to overcome your problems and attain the fame and recognition you secretly desire, but you got to apply yourself diligently. You're likely to have large sums of money at different times in your life, but often you spend it as fast as you get it, you know, that easy come, easy go.
Yeah.
You've got an Eight of Diamonds karma card. It not only gives you the desire for recognition. I know, my tongue can't keep up with my brain. I'm sorry. It's just really bad. Someday telekinetic power, we can just go, you know, mind to mind.
That'll work, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. And you'd be the one that could do it, Kelly.
Working on it, trying hard. but you can be as much of a power shopper as a person who is Eight of Diamonds. Money can be spent faster than it's made, and, you know, you can drive a hard bargain, though. You know, you get good deals.
Oh.
All your difficulties in life, though, really can be traced directly to your thoughts. So as a Seven of Clubs, more than any other card, you've got a great responsibility to maintain positive, healthy thoughts. Any contact with spiritual thoughts or ideals is sure to have a positive effect on you. Developing honesty and integrity, that's part of the challenge, because you do have a Jack of Spades karma card, and it's often called the card of the thief. If you let your desire for success override your integrity, you'll suffer, especially in the areas of love and family. But being as where you are and what you're doing, I'm suspicioning that probably you've overcome that one, so
yeah.
I think that's probably an issue. Is that right? Now, but with your relationships, you've got really neither bad nor good karma in the area of love. The true story of your love life comes as a result of how you handle the other areas of your life. Good news is, you know, if you apply yourself, you've got more chances than any other card in the deck to attain mastery of your emotions and romantic involvements. You've got some karma, and it sometimes is reflected in learning to let go of personal attachments or you know, to others, or in that creating that positive attitude about your partner as well as the rest of your life, which is really ironic because a lot of times, you know, we get into a relationship to be attached to a person, and then once you get into it, it's like you have to be attached but unattached, and it's like, yeah, talk about, you know, flipping the coin around.
Yeah.
So attached and unattached at the same time. That's like, yeah.
I get complaints about being not attached enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You do always work better, you operate better if you're married. You have more success financially and otherwise, and sooner or later, you know, you make that commitment. Many times, if you do attain the fame that you're seeking, you're more tempted with indecision in your personal life than the choice of a mate, and that can sometimes you know, bring in a remarriage. Generalities just between the personality, what they call the personality card connections. You've got a tendency to hold fantasies about other club males. You're greatly challenged by diamond males, which is represented by your Jack of Diamonds as your Pluto card. And a spade male might actually be the perfect match for a Seven of Clubs female. So if you haven't found Mr. Right yet, it's like that's the area you might be looking in as
I'll be going around saying, are you a spade?
Wait,
Kelly.
You a spade?
Hey, Kelly, can I ask you a question? I know I don't want to interrupt it. I never try to interrupt it. You know me. I have a big mouth, and I do interrupt. But can you, because I'm listening to Rachel, and she's a sweet, wonderful soul, and I can feel it. But can you tell her, when you go through, like, the Jack of Diamonds and this male and that male, can you give us the qualities? Because I'm kind of like, when I'm listening, I'm thinking to myself, okay, what is a Jack of Diamonds male? But I know you've told me a million times, but can you give, like, characteristics of them?
Spade characteristics. Spade one.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Okay. Jacks in general, they have a lot of creativity, but they're the youngest of the suit of the royal house. You know, there's in the cards, you know, the kings, queens, and jacks, okay? Kings obviously are, you know, mastering of their element. The queens, you know, do a very supportive type of thing. Anybody who's a queen, whether they're male or female, tends to be mother-henning people. But the jacks are like the mischievous page. They're like the prince of the deck, okay? So they're still younger. The qualities are, you know, more youthful. They're in that, what do I want to say, maybe not indecision mode, but they're still kind of, you know, learning, I'll say learning things. They can go from really positive, you know, high ideals, you know, somebody who has, you know, really, really up and up, you know, and integrity, a lot of it, all the way down to the flip side of somebody who is a career criminal. So, you know, there's that range in there for the jacks, okay?
Yeah. Okay, so when you say stay away from, that's what you're saying. So, because, okay, go ahead and finish. I'm so sorry I interrupted you.
Oh, no, you're fine.
That's
a very good question, because, and a lot of that has to deal with, you know, it's not necessarily the person themselves, but it's the qualities of, you know, because sometimes we are, you know, each of us can exhibit the qualities of a jack. You know, it's like whether we're indecisive or whether we're tempted to be, oh man, you know, maybe I can just get away with doing that. It's like, no, you really can't, because really and truly what always happens is karma catches up and bites you, you know, one way or another.
Yeah.
And it's just better to be as straight up and honest than it is to try to do the other, although some, that's how they get their kicks, is trying to walk the fence, and it's like it just hurts when you cowboy the beam, so to speak, you know.
Yeah.
Big out.
Okay, Calga. I love
it. Oh, golly. Anyway, so let's see. This year has been a year of completions for you, big time. You've had the Nine of Diamonds as your long range card, and that is always, you know, things coming into completion. So it's like, you know, you're, again, it's that rebirth time. It's like you've had a lot of doors closing. You know, financially, you know, either financially or in other areas or in values, you know, so it's like doors closed, but other doors, you know, open, so it opens you to a broader, much broader sense. Let's see, what's that, April? Yeah, I was going to say, you're far along in your year, and I'm just going to look real quick here and see where your personal year starts and stops and all that good stuff, and where exactly you're at in your year, because that would have started, Okay, yeah, your Mercury time went from your birth date until June 7th. Your Venus time was from June 7th to July 29th. You hit Mars from July 29th to September 19th. That was my dad's birthday. Jupiter time frame was 9/19 to 11/10 to November 10th. That was Saturn. Saturn started November 10th and went until January 2nd. So you just gotten out of your Saturn time, and you've just started the Uranian time frame of your year, which is January 2nd until February 23rd. And then you've got Neptune left from the 23rd February until the end of your year. So yeah, you've been through most of the cycles this year of your of what's going on, or I should say what's going to happen to you. And what's really interesting is, like, this was a heck of a poker hand to have this year, because you got the Eight of Clubs, Nine of Clubs, Ten of Clubs, Jack of Clubs, Queen of Clubs, and King of Clubs.
Wow.
And they're all just boom right in the line, you know. It's like the Eight is in Mercury, the Nine is in Venus, the Ten was in Mars, the Jack was in Jupiter, the Queen was in Saturn, the King is in the Iranian time frame, which is where you're at right now. So
this would be a great card.
Like, wow, you got a royal plus there, you know.
Well, does she win anything? I mean, if you're going to have a club, is she going to win anything? So let's start with the rest. I mean, start with from after Saturn, because I want to hear what she wins. The hand is only good until the end. So when she lays it down. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm going to say what. What happened to her in Saturn? She just got done with that. She had the Queen of Clubs and she had the Eight of Diamonds. So it's like those are both really strong positive cards in Saturn, which can be your most challenging time of the year. But whatever difficulties you were going through, it's like the queens tend to, like I said, they tend to mother people, tend to nurture people. There might have been something with scholarship, with the going and learning something new or taking some classes or, learning new things. And that Eight of Diamonds, you really had the power, power through work to achieve some really good financial goals there. So if you were aware of that and you put in the work on that, you probably really harvested some, really positive things financially. What you've got coming into this Uranian time, which is like, they say Uranus is a breath of fresh air after the heaviness of Saturn. You get the carefree spirit, the double lightning bolts, all the fun stuff. And you've got the King of Clubs, Ace of Diamonds in Uranian time frame, and you've got the Neptune time frame is also, it repeats as the Ace of Diamonds. So what you've got coming into there is kings are always, the king of the castle, so to speak. It's like, you're the high, it's the highest in the suit of knowledge and learning. So you're really bringing stuff in. And that also in some way is giving you, the Ace of Diamonds is about a new way to start with finances. Aces are always, learning new things, coming into new things. The only challenge you have with the Ace is that a lot of time the Aces, you think you can't have relationship and career at the same time. It's a really hard thing to juggle, but you need to juggle it in your mind first, because you tend to, the energy with those Aces there is that you tend to look at things really tunnel vision. And if you're really into, teaching and, doing the scholarly things, and that's how you're, bringing in income and that kind of stuff, that is your focus. And it really literally is, you've seen horses with blinders. It's like a horse with blinders on. You really don't have that peripheral vision. You're just tunnel vision, like straight forward there, and you're just not seeing, not seeing a lot else. And it's like, so it makes it harder. If you're in a relationship, it can be a little hard on relationships because, your mate is kind of going, did you forget I was here? Hello? Yeah. Dinner's burned. It's late. It's like, where the heck are you? It's like, I'm off in my den, in my study, in my desk. I'm working, honey. It's like, on what? It's like, but I'm here and I'm hungry. It's like, well, let's see. There's a toast. There's a toast. There's peanut butter. Can I teach you how to self-reliance, how to cook just a little bit,
Yeah.
Bring me a piece of peanut butter toast while you're making yourself one.
Exactly.
Oh, golly. But then you coming into that Uranian or the Neptune time frame again, that it's repeating that ace of diamonds. So it's like, having new ways to have, money come in. The only caveat with the Neptune is Neptune can be illusions. It's illusions, it's dreams, it's, are things coming true, but it's like, the flip side is the illusions, and if the rose-colored glasses are too thick, you can wake up to a nightmare. So when you take them off, so just be careful and be a little cautious in the Neptune time frame that's coming up after this one. I think it was, February 23rd. So after the 23rd of February, just kind of be aware, more aware of the business dealings and that kind of stuff. But right now in the Uranian time frame, there's going to be unusual things, but they're going to be really positive. It's more expansive. It's like Uranus deals with groups of people, with philanthropy, whatever. It's going to be dealing with large groups of people in a business way. If that makes any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, that works.
Coming up on 45, 45 looks like a really cool year, too, but it's like, I hope we get to talk to you after your birthday.
I'll be here.
Yeah. Do you know what, Rachel? That's really very interesting because you and I are going to work because you're going to come in, you're going to start unfolding all of the things you've had that you want to redo, which is your metaphysics. And remember, I said, oh, no, girlfriend, you're not going to hide anymore. You're going to come on my show. So that you're going to be reaching many people, and that would maybe be the opening of, you know, you and big groups, because, you know, that is another way of big groups is having a lot of people hear you. So I think this is going to be really cool for you coming up. Yeah, I mean, don't you?
You were thinking the same vibe as
I was. I totally forgot about that. Bonnie, you know what? Your birth card, you are the Ace of Diamonds. And a lot of times where it's at in the position of manifesting, it's like it can be that the birth card of the person that is there in that position helping us, like that makes a lot of sense because you're the Ace of Diamonds. You yourself are the Ace of Diamonds, so you're going to be very much in those two time frames for her doing that. That is amazing.
I know.
That's really cool.
I know. Well, that's what I thought. That's came right to me. I mean, spirit's coming right to me to say, hey, they're knocking on my head going, you're bringing her on the show. She's going to read whether she likes it or not, and this is going to hit a lot of people. So there you go. I mean, it really, it's interesting who comes to the shows and how we actually meet. So it's cool. I don't think anything is ever for, don't you think, Kelly? Nothing is, I don't believe in coincidences.
Nothing is really, I mean, it's like, you know, they talk about coincidences, but when you see it, the way they have it laid out, you know, it's like a master time clock, you know, like think of a fine Swiss watch where each cog comes into place. So it's like, yes, there's definite things in our lives that are going to happen regardless of how we try to run away from them. It's going to come around.
Yes, she is. And you know what really is funny is I never try running away from anything. I try pulling people out of them running. But the interesting thing is, because I'm an ace of whatever you said, a diamond, I have that same thing. I've got tunnel vision. I know where I want to go. I know what I want to do. And I am also married. And so I, like, said to my partner, I'm Aquarius moon. He's an Aquarius sun, which you heard that with Ron. I said, honey, I'm going. And if I get a career, you know, when I go, because I know I can't do what I want here, and I will be moving, you know, up. And he said, Bonnie, go. You do your thing and come visit me on the weekend. So, see, I do the same thing. I'm tunnel vision. I got to say, hey, honey, I remember you when I get into this career thing. So I think he's actually happy after so many years of marriage. I think he's ready for me to go and work in New York or California. I can see New York, though. But that's really interesting. And, you know, I always bring everything about me. So. Rachel, I love your reading. Do you have any other questions for poor Kelly?
Do you see any type of... Is there anything there that actually shows any type of relationship? Because you're right, I am very tunneled vision, and I'm very self-love. So I don't... My theory is, you know, I'm not looking for a relationship, but if one happens to land in front of me, then that's something different.
That would be cool. That looks like more that that's going to happen in the 45th year because this year is all about, I mean, literally, you got that run of clubs in there. At the beginning, you know, at the beginning of the year, you had like a King of Hearts, which is a loving father card, but that's more about mastering your own emotions. You had a Six of Hearts in there, but it would, you know, would have been a really karmic and fated type of relationship. The couple of nines in there, like you've had like three nines this year. You had the Nine of Spades back in the Mars time frame there. And there could have been – Nine of Spades can either – you know, it can also be like indicators of a death of some sort. So it's like, you know, where it's like literally, you know, you're dying to one way of life and being, you know, made new in another way. It's like – or we've also seen people, you know, their pets die or, you know – Uncle Sam or Aunt Sally or somebody, you know, passes away, not usually somebody in your meet. You know, you've had some transitions in there this year. But most of that, it's like, like I said, the only hearts were at the beginning of the year. Now, next year you've got, yes, I love you too. Next year you've got, let's see, you've got an Ace of Hearts starting out in Mercury, which is like, you know, it's a beginning. It's kind of a looking for love, you know, type of thing. But paired with it, you've got a Five of Diamonds. It's really that restless card. And I'm looking through here and seeing if there's any other hearts. It's ironic,
Kelly,
because, yeah.
Oh, Kelly, I only have 90 seconds, but just to let you know, then I think we go off the air. But so I want to tell everybody to please join us. But I think you can stay on. I don't think we have to end the episode. It just stops taping. So let's see where that goes. If it doesn't, Rachel, you can call back next week. But I think that's how Blog Talk works. But to let everybody know, because if they don't hear us online, and I don't know that they will, we love you. Love is in the airwaves. You know I love that. And I'm going to continue, so I will stay on, and so will Kelly if she can.
Actually, what will happen is we go off air, but it'll be in the archive section. So it's like this is recording. So it's like it's nice, even when it quits on air.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so what? Let's see. With 45, a lot of your focus is not. It's not really going to be where the hearts is. You've kind of got a start of hearts there. You got one ace of hearts in the Mercury time frame, which is kind of like, you know, think of a fire, you know, 4th of July firework, poof, you know, and it's kind of done. You've got a Pluto and result card.
Mm-hmm.
Your Pluto card is a Jack of Diamonds paired with that Four of Hearts. And bear in mind, this is your 45th year, okay? So Four of Hearts is kind of, indicative of there's, interest in, relationship. But in your 46th and 47th year is where you have a run of hearts. It's like you've got 46, you've got a 7 of hearts, you've got an 8 of hearts, you've got a 6 of hearts, you've got a Jack of hearts, you've got a Queen of hearts, you've got a 5 of hearts. You know, you got a whole lot of hearts in your 46th year.
I'm rocking the hearts then.
you got something to look forward to there, but it's like, it looks like, I mean, just from seeing what's here is, you're very focused on the business. You're going to get yourself stable financially and doing what you want to do. So, you're not really dependent on a relationship. It's like, it's going to be kind of like the frosting on the cake. It's like maybe somebody that you'll be able to invite into your life to share your life, but you won't be dependent on them because you'll be independent in your own way. Does that make sense?
Hello?
Whoops.
Did that work for me? Perfect.
Well, do you know what? I gotta tell you something. It's so funny because I have a spirit here, and I don't know who exactly it is, Kelly, but what the spirit is saying to me is exactly what you were telling her. They were talking to my ear the whole time you were talking and saying that she put herself first. And whatever relationship that I'm hearing, that was always on the back burner. And I have a feeling, because I have a feeling it has to do with how she feels about herself. Yeah, I took the
Is this her mom or her grandmother saying this? Because I'm going, okay.
and then what I do hear, Rachel, is this, that you're not destined to be alone. So, And what they're saying is, this time, can you please pay attention to your partner? So that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
And what they're saying is, some of the ones that you've had before have been bums, and I don't know where that's going. But they said that I don't.
Don't settle.
Yeah.
It's like the message.
Yeah.
Don't settle. It's like make them prove up and you get a good one. There are some good ones out there.
Well, I got some lady saying to me, oh, a good one's coming if she can keep them. So here, they're being very sarcastic to you, but they're not being mean. It's just sarcastic. And so I think Kelly is kind of telling you when they're going to be here. So I am going to take another.
The 46th year. I'm just looking at the long range card. So it's like the year when she's 46 is that the whole year on that one is the 5 of hearts, which is like a separation or divorce card, which is kind of really interesting. It's kind of like it can be a change of heart. Okay, so she's first got in the 46th year. She's got a Queen of Hearts that comes up, which is the marriage card. She's got that twice. She's got the Queen of Hearts as a marriage card twice in that year. And then, but overall, she's got a 5 of hearts as, the divorce card, like it's a change of heart. And then in the 47th year, she's got a 9 of hearts as her overall long-range card. And she's got a double Queen of Hearts at the end of her year in the Uranus and the Neptune in the 47th year. So it's like, but again, there's going to be something there where she's got, a double marriage card coming up. And then she's got that 9 of hearts where it's like, nope, change of heart again. It seems like third time is the charm here is year 48 is you've got, I'm just saying. so what I'm getting here.
You know, they're showing the telly. They're showing me. It's very strange. They're showing me. And please don't have anybody hang up because we are going to take everybody on the board that are that's left, if Kelly will be able to do that. But I have to tell you, I have this woman showing me. It's really weird, and I don't know why. Maybe it's a movie, but she's showing me a bowl of porridge sitting at like a wooden table. So it's really very strange, and I don't and I don't know what. Yeah, yeah, it's or something.
I'm
and she
right
say,
now, Bonnie, does this help you?
No, it's for her, Kelly. But
yeah,
you know,
I know.
Do you know, I said porridge, but what I see is more like a stew. I said porridge, but
it's
kind of like a clear stew.
I was
going to
say porridge is oatmeal. But yeah.
Yeah, I know, but that's what came out of my mouth. But what I'm envisioning, what I see on the table is like a stew. And it's weird. And they're saying, the spirit is saying that that maybe that the two heart cards that there'll be something that comes around, maybe offered to her, and she's thinking about it, and she kind of doesn't take it. And the second time by the same person, she takes it. So maybe that's what you're seeing the two. I don't know, because
you
I don't know about those cards. But,
here's the triple threat, though. See, the 46th year, she's got the Five of Hearts long range. The 47th year, when she's 47, she got the Nine of Hearts. The 48th year is like the jackpot. She's got the Queen of Hearts for her year-long card. So, strike one is the Five of Hearts, strike two is the Nine of Hearts, and, you know, Queen of Hearts is the one that comes up in year 48. But there's a run of hearts. There's one more year after that. On the 49th year, she's got a Seven of Hearts that year. So it's like, if there was a marriage card, you know, comes to doing what it's doing, if she gets married in the 48th year, the Seven of Hearts in that 49th year is like, have faith, you know, have a little faith and love will come to you, you know, type of thing. But it's like, yeah, I would agree. It's like the same thing as don't ignore your mate.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I do have a feeling they're still here with me. What they're saying is this one's a good one, and they're bringing them to you. And take your glasses off so you can see. And they're laughing, so I don't know who this is. But and I guess they mean maybe your rose-colored glasses, because Kelly said that. But they're kind of they're funny people. I mean, you know, they're funny. And the one woman is saying
they are.
Yeah, they're very funny, and I love their sense of humor. And what they're saying is,
plus she's laughing because she's hearing them too. She's a medium.
Yes. What they're saying is, be good to your. This is the word. Be good to yourself. Be good to your fellow mates, and be good to your family, and you'll have it all. So. There you go. I hope that they're saying all kinds of things, and I can't really make it out. And they're here right now, like my skin is glittering, and I see more than one face.
Just
so, yeah.
Somebody's
I
trying to talk all at once. You get like two or three in the bridge club going, and blah, 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 and it's like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait, take a talking stick. One talk at a time. Take turns, please. Yeah.
And what they're saying. And what they're saying is, there's one other thing that they're saying is, if you just listen to yourself, so what they're asking you to listen to yourself, because you know, you already know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love you, Rachel. You know that you and I have a, you and I will have a Skype meeting. I think Diana was setting that up. But you get... Yeah, so I will see you and I'll talk to you then. And, you know, we love you. Have a great, great year. Unless, Kelly, you've got anything else, I'm going to move to the next one. That's okay. I love you, Rachel. I'll see you soon, baby. Thanks for calling in.
Love you too, Bonnie.
Yes.
Thank you, Kelly,
Thank you so much.
Great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's fun.
Have a great day and a great
year,
Europe, and I'll see you. Bye. Kelly, I need to ask you because I have three more callers on the board that I allowed in. Do you think you can do them, or would you prefer? Because okay, so we're going to take somebody who's been waiting 0257, because Kelly, you are so popular, girlfriend. Hi, 0257. Who am I talking with? Who are Kelly and I talking with?
Hi, this is Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
How are you today?
I'm great. How are y'all?
We
Very
are
good.
Doing fabulous. You know, you're not on the air, but you're on report.
I'm sorry?
You're not on the air, so people can hear you, but you're on record. So both Kelly and I are working with you.
You'll be able to hear this in archives, right? Yeah.
Great.
And so will everybody else. So if they download the record, if they download the archives, they'll hear you. So, okay, do you have a question for Kelly and I, or did you want a reading from Kelly?
I would love a reading, please. That would be great.
Cool. Okay. Month, day, and age.
Okay, month is February 14th, and I'm 42.
Oh, wait a minute.
Good to be 43. You're a fellow Aquarian. I'm thinking to be 40.
I love your birthday. I love your birthday. I deal in love, romance, relationships, and sexual issues, and I love February 14th. So go ahead, Kelly. I'm sorry I had to do that. Go ahead.
Oh, you're good. That, interestingly enough, we talked so much about the jacks there, so here it is. You are a jack of diamonds with a six of spades. Yeah. No. There's good things to be said about all the cards, so let's see how this is rolled out here. And it's like, you're only 42, so you got some life changes, you know, coming up because, you know, 42, they start, I'll say, preparing you for the changes. Jack of Diamonds is actually called the salesperson's card. You're sharp, you're clever, you're always able to make a good living using your wit and charm. You're very independent, you're very creative, you operate as much from your instinct as you do from your quick and creative mind, especially for Aquarius people here. You can always get along and do well in life by virtue of your inherited financial expertise. Although few people of this card really heed the call of your highest ideals to become, because jacks can always move up and become a king. It's like, you know, that song from a jack to a king, and that's really kind of what that's about. Is anybody who is a jack in the day make that leap and, you know, and wait like a prince in the waiting in the wings when the king dies, you know, or, you know, whatever. It's like the prince then moves up and becomes a king. So you have that ability if you choose to take it. You've got some natural intuitive ability that can really lead you to direct spiritual realization. All jacks tend to be fixed in the mind, which often prevents you sometimes from exploring the intuition, which is one of your greatest gifts. There's a flip side here. Some jacks can become professional psychics, while others might, you know, totally fear that channel and just shut it off. But in any event, most of you come to use it later in your life, you know, where it's that little voice inside you that talks to you and kind of goes, I feel like I should do this. It's, you know, if you want to call it your gut feelings or your hunches, your intuition, you know, whatever it is, that's not a scary word. It's like that's that moment of, you know, ESP or intuition that you naturally have. You've got great power to persuade others. Think of you could sell snowballs to Eskimos, okay, like that. You're very successful in work that brings you in front of groups or individuals. You can make a good living in the entertainment or healing professions. You can have, you know, be artistically inclined, and you might be really, you know, gifted in some particular artistic field. You really would like to do something good for the world. But you also have the side that, you know, you really like to have fun. Things should be fun in life. So it's like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like if you buckle down, you don't lose the fun, but you do reap the benefits of the rewards of hard work there. You do like to keep your options open. It sometimes makes it hard, you know, to make a decision and things. You've got this Uranian Neptune card, which is the Jack of Diamonds. It, you know, the freedom, that Uranian bit means a lot to you, and you often really look upon that freedom as kind of sacred. That's the Neptune part of it. You gravitate towards self-employment or occupations that give you a lot of freedom in setting up your own work schedule, and that may be one reason, you know, so many of you guys, you know, gravitate to, like, either selling, promoting as a career. You're literally unequaled in that field. Jacks can be, here's the downside, can be immature and crafty due to their vast creativity. But you usually mean well even when you're not able to come through on the promises. You know, you love to play even in old age. You retain a certain youthful quality. You love to be social, and that's another reason that, you know, that's why it's called the salesperson card. But you've got to find a career that gives you an outlet for your creativity and recognition for your superior talents. In relationships, you've really got an idealized concept of personal freedom in a lot of cases that can keep you from, you know, from making a commitment in a relationship, or conversely, you can draw in people that will not commit, or if you're in a committed relationship, then congratulations, you've come through those. Freedom, as mentioned earlier, is just, it's really a special word, and it's like that sometimes freedom and commitment, they're on kind of like opposite ends of the scale, so it's hard to maintain freedom. You know, when you're committed to something, and that's, you know, a lot of guys, you know, call the wife the ball and chain type of thing. So that's, you know, but it's just as much so for us too as ladies. It's like we can have guys that
I know
too.
I know. I hate it. I always hated the one-sidedness. But go ahead.
Yeah.
Not that I call mine.
My husband and I balance each other out, so that's good.
Okay. What, out of curiosity, what is he? What's his birthday?
9/22.
So he is probably right on the cusp of Libra. I'm thinking, is he a Libra person?
And that's the scales of
Virgo.
He's
a Virgo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a Virgo. Okay, just barely. Yeah, because that is one of the cusp birthdays. But yeah, okay. And so yeah, I believe that balance, because he's a Two of Clubs.
Yeah,
with a King of Clubs, which is one of the loving father card things. Okay.
He's a very loving father, and he balances me out. Though his perfectionism balances my, you know, kind of nuttiness.
He grounds
you.
he's the anchor to the ship, because it's like, as an Aquarius, like, you tend to be like the kite flying in the wind, and he goes,
exactly,
and drag me along here. Come on, we're gonna keep you from leaving the planet. Oh, goodness.
Well,
okay,
Kelly,
before
you go on, and I know I'm going to interrupt this, but then that's what you need to find, Kelly, is a Virgo.
My dad was a Virgo. Pass.
My dad was
a Virgo.
My husband was a Sagittarian. I found out I like Sagittarians. They're really cool. They're the archers. Half centaur, you know, half human. Yeah, great shot. It's like, yes, I like centaurs. I like that, yeah.
I know you do, and so do I, but my husband's an Aquarius. But I'm just saying that as a joke, because you know that the last medium on the show, you know, Phil said you weren't even supposed to be here. So that's why I said it. But go ahead. I'm sorry, because I know I don't like interrupting greetings. Go ahead, please.
Oh, no, I'm fine. You're fine. Yeah, there's days I go, what was I thinking? You know, it's like, not only did I end up on this rock, it's like I've got 5 children to boot. I'm going, okay, fine. They're all really special people. That's all I can say.
That's right.
They had
all
to be
continue.
And survive me. That's what they also tell me.
Yeah, continue to read for this lovely lady.
Okay,
otherwise,
okay,
we've interrupted her lifeline, so please go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say here, what came down for you in your 42nd year? You had, again, this would be, you know, this had been like a great poker hand here. It's like hearts this year. You had Jack of Hearts and Mercury. You've had the Four of Hearts and Venus, which is like the love card. You know, it's a very... probably a lot of, you know, romance, rekindling something in a relationship. You had King of Hearts in Mars. You had the Two of Hearts and the Six of Hearts in Jupiter. You had the Seven of Hearts in Saturn. Like, overall, you had the Five, and then you had the Five of Hearts in Neptune. For the overall year, your long range was a Queen of Diamonds, which is about self-mastery with finances. So that's, you know, that was kind of your focus for the year. But, you know, the queens, even while they're mastering their finances, you still tend to take the chicks under the wing and nurture people. So you just can't help that. On your 43rd year coming up, you've got a lot of hearts in there. You've also got some other things showing, schooling. You've got a lot of clubs with scholarship and with some hard work there. You've got some. So if you, it's kind of like if you work hard, you're going to get, you know, work hard with the either school or whatever it is, you know, you're going to get some financial rewards with that. Because you've got a really good mix. And like I say, this is for when you turn 43, okay? For your long range for your 43rd year is the Ace of Hearts. Where are you finishing up right now this year? You're in, what do we just say, the Uranian time frame, I believe. So you've got a Nine of Diamonds and you've got a Three of Spades in this time happening. So you've got something closing. There's some kind of closure for finances. So, you know, one door is closing so another door can open. But you've got a tremendous amount of creativity also. This Three of Spades is coming in there. Don't let your creativity, don't let it turn to worry. Don't let whatever's happened with the finances turn into worry mode, because it's like that won't benefit you. You really got to focus on, you know, doing the positive stuff, doing, you know, positive journal. It's like, I've got these cool ideas. What can I do with it? And go forward with that. Neptune, you've got a Five of Hearts, so there's a little bit of change of heart, whether it's a change of heart with, you know, about the finances, whether it's a change of heart about, you know, job, whether it's, you know, might be some shakeups in relationship, but I'm going, yeah, not, you know, maybe not really relationship so much, but it's like there's just going to be some shuffling with finances and work and maybe a little bit of health. At this point in time, threes can also, or the spades can also be about health issues. So it's so it might be something with someone's health coming up, and that might be part of the financial glitches that might be going on. Coming into your 43rd year, it's like I do hope you call back so we can, you know, absolutely do that reading for the, you know, for your 43rd year, because you got a lot of cool things happening there. It's like you've got some karmic balancing stuff, but you've got some partnership stuff coming up with finances, with work, with like schooling or learning things, and it's like, yeah, you've had a pretty good year this year. I think this is like I don't know if it's a pinnacle year or, you know, something or another, but it's like in the next couple 3 years, you know, year 44 is your pre-birth year, and then you're going to come into your rebirth year. So it's like that's what they call the midlife, you know, the midlife crisis. It's like it's all of a sudden, you know, you go, do I know you? You know, it's like you've changed so much. So it's like, but you've got,
I feel like
some of
that
those
now
happening. Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, you know,
that's
my field.
It's happening now.
Yeah, that's my field. Yeah. I'm a counselor, and that's my big thing, cry on return, we call it. But it is the midlife, and I love that. So go ahead, Kelly. I'm sorry, because that is so.
No, you're fine.
You have questions about your midlife, you come to me, because that's my deal. But go ahead. Kelly. Give her a little, yep. You know, give her a little bit, because she's still at the end of this one. Can you not give her the next one, or do you not want to do that until her birthday?
I can go forward with it a little bit. Yeah. And I'll put this, so it'll be in archives. So just go ahead and, you know, when you go back to archives, just listen and write these down. For your 43rd year, your Mercury is a Three of Hearts and a Five of Clubs. The Venus time is a Two of Spades, a Jack of Clubs. The Mars time is a Two of Diamonds, an Ace of Hearts. The Jupiter time frame is a Six of Clubs and a Seven of Clubs. The Saturn time is a Six of Hearts and a Nine of Spades. The Uranus time is a Five of Spades and a Three of Diamonds. And the Neptune is a Nine of Diamonds for the 43rd year. And then you've got that, like I say, that Ace of Hearts for your long range. The other two cards, or the other card pairs, you've got in the 43rd year, you've got Pluto is a Nine of Clubs, and the result is a Seven of Diamonds. You've got the Environment card is a Six of Diamonds, and you've got the Displacement card is a Ten of Hearts. And what all those, generic look at it, is the hearts have to do with relationships, with youth. The threes are about, you know, creativity. Fives are restlessness. The clubs tend to be the scholars of the deck, so that it tends to be with communications, with learning, with you know, helping others, with dispensing knowledge, you know, that kind of stuff. The spades tend to be hard work or health issues, you know, one or the other, or sometimes both, because sometimes people can get, you know, have health issues come up because they've overworked, they've worked too hard. So there's, you know, just some things there. It's like, you know, don't overwork yourself. The diamonds are about your values. You know, in the mundane world, they're about, you know, your finances, how things go with that. But in the deeper level, it's about your values. So, you know, your values can change. You can have things, you know, coming up where And that's, you know, especially like the Three of Diamonds. It's like, you know, a lot of, you know, some creativity and restlessness there. But I'll say with that, like with the Two of Diamonds and the Ace of Hearts there in the Mars, that keeps picking at me. You're going to, you know, some kind of endeavor where you have a partner in your finances, and it's like it's something that, you know, is kind of a love. It's something that's, you know, with the Ace of Hearts, it's something that, you know, partnering financially with somebody, you know, to do good. So it's like it's going to be something kind of a love in your life. It's like something that you really attune with, okay? Let's see, the Seven of Hearts, oh, no, that was last year, okay. That Six of Hearts, the Sixes always come across, they are like the cards of karma, and you've got three of those. You've got, like, the Six of Clubs, the Six of Hearts, the Six of Diamonds. So it's like you're going to have some, I'll say, karmic, you know, maybe not reckoning, but karmic balancing of the scales. And that comes along in Jupiter, so it's like that's not going to be, you know, bad at all. Some things happening there. Seven of Clubs is, again, it's that having faith. It's like making sure that your thoughts really lead the way and that they're positive ones. So it's like, you know, with whatever's happening internally, usually the first card is what's going on in your inner world. The second card is how it manifests in your outer world. So it's like with that Six of Clubs first and then Seven of Clubs second, you're going to have some inner, you know, karmic balancing or balancing with other people. And then it's like really just have the faith and just keep stepping through it. And it's like in Jupiter, it's like it's your blessing and protection time of the year. With the Saturn time frame, that's probably going to be the hardest one for the 43rd year because you've got a Six of Hearts, which is a karmic relationship of some sort, you know, and it could be, you know, not necessarily your husband, but could either be with, you know, your children. I'm thinking like grandparents or aunts or uncles or somebody. It's somebody kind of satellited out in your group. It's not necessarily the ones closest to home. But there's also that Nine of Spades that goes with it. So there might be there might be some illness in the family, something like that, that's going to, you know, happen at that point in time. Just kind of, you know, be aware of that. Don't be broadsided by that. That Uranian time frame, five of Spades, the Wanderer, it's like that. That's real restlessness. And when you combine that with that Three of Diamonds, those two together, it's like you're going to come up with that crazy, Uranian zigzag moment. So it's like it's really going to be some bouncing in there. But it's like it can be fun bouncing because it's a lot more lighthearted. The Neptune, that Nine of Diamonds, that really there's an indication, again, there's going to be an ending of some kind of financial moment happening. But, you know, again, as one door closes, another one will open somewhere along there. So, you know, just kind of think of it as kind of like an ocean ride there. It's like, you know, you're going to have some ups, you're going to have some downs, but it's, you know, it eventually it levels off. So, you know, you got some good stuff coming up for the 43rd year, too.
Wow, Kelly, that is. I hope you had you. You know, you can go back into the archives and listen. But isn't it incredible? Just,
it is. And I'm trying to write everything down, but still, it's. I can't. That's why you go to archives. You go to archives
absolutely.
And you hit pause. I've done this.
And we do it on our own. We do it for ourselves, too. So if you and also like us, I didn't even get to tell everybody because we ragged so long. I'm going to have to put Kelly on for 2 hours. I'm going to have to talk to Kelly, and we're going to have to pick another day and put her on for 2 hours because I don't even get to tell everybody.
Not
like
you've done geographically relocating. I want to finish moving from one household to the other. It's like think in February. It's like January, I think, is shot.
Yeah. Honey, I'm telling you there's new beginnings for you coming up, Kelly, and it's going to be 2-hour shows with me. So I so appreciate your call, and I hope we've helped you. You know, you can always call. We're always
call
available
back.
To do it. Yeah, and call back and let us know how you're doing. Okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, ladies. Y'all have a great day.
You bet.
Thank you. We love you, and have a great, great year. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, Kelly. Kel?
Whew. Yes, ma'am.
Kel,
they will cut
done.
You off eventually.
So,
about 15 minutes out, they will cut you off. All of a sudden, they'll go,
thank you
for using Blog Talk Radio. Beep, beep, beep. Meh. It's like, okay, we're done.
we had at least 30 or 40 people here, and I had – they started – you know, they always start stories a bit. We've got to talk about a two-hour show. I don't know that you can do it. I mean, you're just, like, rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
I have to tell you about what happened, but I don't want to tell you on air. So, and it's still
on air, right?
So can
call you right
can
back.
You call me? Yeah, call me right back.
Yes,
bye, everyone. Bye. I love his hair.
I'm just saying, get a hold of us and, you know, I'm still saying Happy New Year. It's like happy good times coming up, man. Keep it positive because good things are coming.
Happy. We love you. Please listen to us. We love you. And, again, love is in the airwaves. Bye.